All right, so what's your main health concern that brings you to Ayurveda?
Well, it's like for the it's for the like the last 13 years I've had like a heart arrhythmia that sort of it's like a it's all of a sudden your pulse races really fast and it kind of your extremities feel numb
Okay,
and it's a
so let's
little
take some notes on there. We'll make three columns before we go into all the details.
okay.
So the first column, can you put it up here
Oh,
temporarily so I can
sure.
see where? Yeah, so Vata here. You'll need lots of room for Vata.
Okay.
And then a little bit of room for Pitta, so you can write Pitta right here. And then way in the far right is Kapha. Okay,
Okay.
so Vata is space and air.
Okay.
Yeah? And then Pitta is fire and water. And then Kapha, lastly, is water and earth. So Kapha represents growth and stability, like stability of the heart. And then Pitta represents metabolism and heat, digestion. And then lastly, Vata represents movement. And there's no life without movement, yeah? But if there's too much movement, like arrhythmia, rapid heartbeat, hyperactivity, there sets in sickness, right? So, yet we need movement in life, otherwise there's no life. We need heat in life, otherwise there's no life. And Kapha, we need growth in life, otherwise there's no life, yeah? So these are the three major principles, yeah? One is catabolic, one is metabolic, and the other is anabolic, to use technical terms. So, let me get some basic information before going to the specific symptoms, is what is your date of birth?
9/13/60.
Okay, what city were you born in?
Independence, Missouri.
Okay, so make a note in the Vata column to be born in a place that has an autumn, yeah, which is Missouri. In the autumn time, beginning of autumn, is Vata season, yeah. Pitta season is the summer. Well, you're born in autumn. So when we're born, it has some influence on us. Like one patient of mine born in a snowstorm in Chicago and conceived in a snowstorm, and she picks up to some degree some snowy qualities, meaning colds and asthma, right? But that's not the whole story. That's part of it. Some of the genetic influence of the climate and the environment on us, right? It's not just our mom's genetics and our dad's and our ancestors. It's where we grew up, right? It has some influence on us during the growth in the womb. Yeah, does that make sense? On a subtle level. So, and then make a note in Vata column to have arrhythmia. Is that what you said? And rapid heartbeat. So that makes sense, because out of all the three constitutions here, Vata is irregular. And Vata is hyper or fast moving. So when we calm the irregularity and make it regular, and when we calm the fast moving and make it appropriately moving, not too fast, not too slow, then no arrhythmia, right? So if in other aspects of our life we eat at irregular hours, we sleep at irregular hours, we anything at all at irregular hours, of course we're going to have arrhythmia. Does that make sense at some level?
Because it's too regular?
No,
Is
because
that
no,
that if
irregular.
it
Yeah, so if we eat at irregular hours, let's say I had a meal at 2 a.m., how could I possibly
Oh,
have good
okay.
sleep, right?
Okay.
And I'm being active at 2 a.m., let's say, when everyone else is asleep. Well, that's called irregular. I'm having arrhythmia. There's a rhythm of the world, and I'm going against it. And ir means not, right? Like responsible. Irresponsible is not responsible. Rhythmia means rhythm. Arrhythmia means there's no rhythm. So if you eat it at weird hours, if you sleep at strange hours, if you have menstruation at strange time, which one would say we have no choice in that matter, but we do. So the things that we have choice in our life about, we must make them regular, right? Because imagine if the Earth spun on its axis at a weird time, didn't go exactly 24 hours, it changed variably, and sometimes it turns and goes the other way. You'd be like, oh my God, it's a catastrophe. So, thank goodness, the external things to us seem to move actually like clockwork, the movement of the tides, the movement of the ocean. So when we ourselves don't, it's because us, the micro, is out of harmony with the macro, the big picture, yeah? And the modern world allows us to do that thanks to that invention right there. Right? We could stay up and do whatever we want, and we could eat any hour we want, and thanks to jet airplane, we could fly anything in from anywhere in the world. So this is big picture of Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, yeah? So if we don't see the truth of that, right? Impossible to cure arrhythmia. Can't do it. Just forget it. Ayurveda can't help, right? So if you see a connection between the big picture and then us, we could bring about healing, right? So like for instance this, we could see that's moving, and it's moving completely unpredictably, the wind. So probably a good idea to close it, yeah? Because probably you would have some sensitivity to the wind if one has arrhythmia, I don't know. I partially leave this open as a diagnostic question, a diagnostic test, to see how the patient responds to it. So how about you? Do you like windiness, or do you prefer it
I
to be
it
more...
I think it feels pretty good.
Okay, that's good. Then make a note and pit the column. Feels wind feels good. Okay. These two would probably not be saying that. If they're sitting right where you, they'd be, oh, could you please close that?
Right. Well, I've been hot all day, so this is feeling good.
So that's a good sign. If you have some heat in you, that means it's easier to cure arrhythmia, because arrhythmia is vata. And the number one quality of vata besides dry is cold. Yeah. So let me ask some specific questions on that. Do you have dry skin or oily skin or normal?
I don't know. I suppose it depends on the climate, but it seems normal. It's probably on the older I get, it's drier.
Okay, so make a note, slightly dry.
Okay.
One of the attributes is vata is dry. And what is your current age?
46.
Okay. So from conception to puberty is kapha time. Conception to puberty. Things are in the winter, stored in the earth. And then they sprout, baby, in spring. So late spring and summer is pitta time. Late spring, summer is pitta. And then you're born in a vata time, so you're naturally going to pick up some vata things. You're born in autumn, beginning of autumn, though. But mixed with summer still.
Mm-hmm.
And then pitta time is basically puberty until about age 50-something. Menopause, 50, maybe 60. And then from 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, depends how long we live, is the time of vata. So from beginning of menopause, 50, 60-something, until onward. Whereas pitta time is puberty at 50, 60, and then kapha's conception to beginning of puberty. Yeah. So we see these seasons of the year, we see these seasons within life, and we see these seasons within the day. So then, what time of day do you notice you have rapid heartbeat, or arrhythmia, or both?
Hmm.
Or don't you notice?
I don't notice. And actually, I mean, over the years, I could have it in the morning, or I could have it in the afternoon.
Okay. Do you notice you'll have it more during daytime, anytime, forget what specific time, but daytime or nighttime?
Oh, daytime, definitely.
Okay, so make a note in vata kalam. The daytime is vata, because things are moving fast, right? The nighttime is kapha. People normally sleep, right? Things are moving slowly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
In winter, things move slowly, but in the autumn, things are blustery and windy and unpredictable and a little hyper, right? It's quite windy in the autumn. All right, so let me get some specific things. What's your current height and weight?
I'm 5'6", probably like 127.
Okay, make a note in pitta column. 5'6", 127 shows your pitta, neither thin nor fat. Medium, right? So pitta people, they're medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not chubby, but neither are you skinny, right? She's probably, one of these two, probably a little thinner than you, but I could tell from bone structure, yeah? So he might be a little bit lanky to some degree, right? But you have medium, right? So he's a little more vata, and you seem to be more pitta. But we can't really say unless we feel your pulse and ask you a few more questions. So someone walks in very skinny, right? Like if you were 5'6 and 105 or 110,
mm-hmm.
I'd go, oh, vata primary.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to treat rapid heartbeat and arrhythmia. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But being pitta, it's easier to treat it. If you were walking in chubby kapha person, right, having arrhythmia, very easy to treat, because kaphas are so relaxed and happy-go-lucky. So if their heart gets rapid, oh, so easy to solve, because they're so sedentary. So for them to have that is abnormal. Yeah.
Mm.
For pitta to have it, well, it does happen. For vata to happen, it's very common. So it'd be very hard to treat, because
mm-hmm.
it's their nature to be fast and irregular. Yeah.
Mm.
So I'm not saying you're vata, but you have a mixture of vata and pitta just looking at you. Yeah. So, okay. So do you know your blood type?
I don't.
How about as a 10-year-old girl? Were you thin, skinny, medium, or chubby at age 10?
Thin.
Okay. So thin can either be vata, pitta, hard to say. How about your energy level for the last few months? How has it been?
I think not as much as it was, but I think a lot has to do with the time in life. I'm empty nest, kids are gone.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say it's a little bit lower
it's
than
a little
it used
bit
to
lower
be?
Than but it's
steady still.
Yeah, it's steady. It's just, you know.
In the past, let's say in your 30s and 20s, were you considered to be hyper or intense or relaxed? How would a friend someone describe you, hyper or intense or relaxed? Now, they're both high energy, hyper and intense, but intense is focused, mental energy and physical energy, whereas hyper is scattered. That's why we say bouncing off the walls. You know, you drink coffee and bounce, boom, 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 and it's sort of scattered.
I feel like I'm in between, not so focused, but I'm not off the wall either, but...
Okay.
I think... And you asked me, like, when I was in my 30s or whatever, I had high energy.
Okay.
It definitely was...
But high energy scattered or high energy focused? Like me,
and
I'm
like
Mr. Focused as can be.
If I'm going to have to pick, I'm going to say scattered.
Okay. So make a note about the column, scattered. So some people, they have high energy, but they're intense. That would be pitta. Others have high energy, but they're scattered. Right? It means like the wind. The wind scatters things. We put a papers here, and we blow the wind, and the wind scattered the papers. Right? It didn't focus the papers.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to see the poetry of this concept called wind, vata in Sanskrit. It doesn't just mean wind, it means a lot of stuff, but it means dry, means autumn, means irregular, means rough, means hard, means fast, hyper. Okay, so next question is, so energy is a little bit more on the vata side, but still okay. So what you do on this chart, just so you guys know, if you're using this chart, is you would have to write in the word just vata okay in that little blank space, because it's not vata poor, it's not pitta intense, nor is it kapha steady. So right here we put vata and we just put okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But it's still categorized as vata energy because it's a little bit scattered. Yeah. Okay, how was your sleep?
I sleep pretty good.
Okay. Is it hard to wake up in the morning or pretty easy?
Well, it's hard to wake. It's hard getting out of physically the bed, but it's not hard to wake up. So
okay.
I guess no, it's not hard to wake
and
up.
And is it hard to go to sleep, or do you easily fall asleep?
I'm somewhere in between. It's not... I'm an early to bed, early to rise.
Okay,
so.
That's very good. That makes it easier to treat
okay.
irregularity of heart rate. So make a note in the pitta column. Your sleep's okay. Would you consider yourself a light sleeper, but can get to sleep?
Oh, very light sleeper, yeah. But can't,
okay.
but can get to sleep.
Then are you more sensitive to sound, or to light, or to both?
Both.
So make a note in pitta column, the days or nights, let's say the nights, that you're more sensitive to light, knows your pitta out of balance. And that varies. Like sometimes someone shines the high beams in your eye in the freeway and you're like, ah, turn those off. Are you that sort of person, or do high beams not bother you?
Yeah, it bothers me.
So then you're photophobic, means sensitive to light. That shows a little bit of high pitta, yeah? Then vata is sensitive to sound. Yeah, like if someone clapped their hands loudly and you weren't expecting it, would that surprise you? Or
yeah,
just
I'm very...
No big deal at all.
No, that's...
Yeah, so this shows sound sensitive. So when there's high vata, we have sound sensitivity. So next question is, do you have ringing in your ears?
Occasionally I do.
Make an occasional ringing in the ears, or tinnitus.
For vata?
Vata, yes. So vata represents sound. But have ringing in the ear shows not enough lubrication in the ear, so to speak, poetically. Not enough lubrication in the nervous system, because the qualities of vata are dry and rough and hard, right? So, and empty, and hence they are sonorous, meaning they hear a buzz. Yeah. Okay. So sleep's okay overall. Would you basically say okay balanced for your sleep?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Healthy. How about emotionally, knowing that we human beings have a whole range of emotions when we're out of balance, do you tend more recently, in the last few months, to anxiety, to irritability, or to depression? Knowing
we
have
like
all of
the
them
above
as
lately. All of the above lately. Just
yeah, sure.
We just made done a major move. My kids are both gone.
Where'd you move from?
L.A.
Mm-hmm.
To here.
Okay. Do you like it here more? Is it more,
yeah,
or you like the
well,
hyper
hard to, you just,
of L.A. more?
No, I like it here.
Okay.
I like the landscape a little better, but yeah, I think it's a lot of things. We're just life changes that you're looking for yet the next chapter, and
yeah, sure.
It's a little bit.
So make a note in vata column, change. Vata is change. So when changes happen, be they family moving on to their new stage, children leaving, be it, you know, death in the family, be it birth in the family, be it sickness, any sort of trauma, meaning separation, meaning big change, like, oh, it's gone. So this is vata disturbing, right? That's change. So vata represents change. And that's why we say, right up here, wind. Yeah? Wind is what vata is. So in English we have an expression, it says the winds of change. Yeah. We say winds of change. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say the fire of change or the earth of change. We say the wind of change, because it's unpredictable. So, a good way to balance these three, you see that you have very little kapha disturbance. You have a little bit of pitta. And these aren't disturbances, because these are both your good qualities and some of your out-of-balance qualities, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
In all these cases. So to stay healthy with kapha, write the word stay busy. It means, you could write it up here, because it's the motto. It's going to be the motto, the mantra, the theme of these three constitutions. So stay busy means physically active, not mentally busy, because in the modern world, everyone is so mentally busy. Spinning their wheels, mostly. Surfing the internet, watching TV, just constant hyper mind. So it means stay physically busy, means every day do some form of exercise. So what exercise do you do to stay healthy?
Well, I was really good with walking for about an hour every day.
That's best of all. Great.
But I used to do it with a friend, so I try to do it every day, but I'm not that great at it lately.
Okay, so you need motivation then to
a little
actually.
Bit.
Okay, make a note in vata column. I'm the same way for some exercise. Fortunately, I have a gym right there, so I was like, okay, I have no excuse. Just walk into that room and just lift a few weights. Okay.
So what am I putting in? Oh, need motivation.
Need motivation. So vata, they're like, oh, I really need someone to give me a little motivation to do some exercise. Kapha people, oh my god, they need a drill sergeant to get them motivated, right?
Or and
a
piece of chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, follow this chocolate into the gym. Okay, so. And pitta, oh, forget it. They're workaholics and they're exerciseaholics. They don't need anyone to motivate them. No way.
It's you.
So, okay.
I envy that.
So then, what's your favorite exercise if you could choose, besides the walking, which is very good, by the way? What other exercises do you like?
That's a tough one. I like biking.
Okay. So, if you think about it, if irregular heartbeat and rapid heartbeat is your main concern, and hence it makes you a little bit anxious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I presume. It's good to do exercises that bring regularity, right? And they're not so windy, right? Because we already see that this is wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Winds of change, winds of desire. We even haven't talked about digestion. Do you pass wind and all that sort of stuff? We
mm-hmm.
all have some gas. But so my point is, depending how much wind you have going on, and you have a fair amount because that column is quite full, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to do exercises that are more kapha, meaning more grounded and earthy, right? So what would earthy, grounded, or watery exercises be? Swimming. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kapha is graceful, right? I can't really call bicycling graceful, right? It can be, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than anything, it's fast and sharp and quick.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, if we're not paying attention, we fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is more graceful, would be kapha exercise. So swimming, you can't fall. There's nowhere to fall to. It's very graceful and water-supported, right?
Mm-hmm.
So swimming for you would be best exercise. So you can make a note in vata column. These are the exercises that soothe vata. So swimming would be best of all choices. Next best would simply be walking, or hiking, which is a little better, because
mm-hmm.
that means uphill, some nature, whereas walking could be suburban or urban. So hike in nature, once a week at least, for an hour. Yes, and you're so lucky here to move from
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, unless you're out in the countryside of Los Angeles, because it's not so urban here, right? In a half hour, you could be in, where are you at right now, in East Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be in incredible, beautiful
mm-hmm.
redwood tree forest.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing.
Or Mount Diablo.
Well, that's a little bit windy and exposed is the problem with Mount Diablo. It's not bad. It's still beautiful nature. I'm thinking more when you go between here and Walnut Creek and Concord area is this whole big swath, where are we, that way,
mm-hmm.
of all these redwood forests and
mm-hmm.
hills that are not so windy. Mount Diablo is quite exposed. Depends upon the time of year and the season. So it's good for you not to be exposed to direct wind. So walking near a forest or where there's a border, a windbreak is better. Yeah. So then the next thing would be to do ballet or some sort of graceful dancing. We're not talking hip-hop or techno dancing, things that are up, down, up, down, up, down, but things that are circular, round, and graceful, right? That's very good. So if you have any inclination to take ballet classes, right, that'd be very good for you because it's very round and circular and graceful. And so that's the more commonly known things. Now moving to Eastern things would be yoga. I don't recommend yoga for everyone. Some people say, no, don't do yoga, forget about the kaphas, right? It's too sedentary, right? So yoga is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But even better would be Tai Chi, right? equally like Indian medicine and things Indian and Chinese things. I straddle the fence. They're both good. But Tai Chi is better when there's a regularity and arrhythmia than yoga, right? Tai Chi has a certain grace to it and a circularness that yoga lacks. And I have yet to meet someone who has injured themselves doing Tai Chi, right? I've met quite a few patients and students who injure themselves because the teacher didn't say, don't, oh, too late, you overarched, overextended, and it hurt your back. So I've met quite a few people who've hurt their back with yoga if they get too gung-ho about it, right? I've yet to meet anyone. I mean, how could you mess up with Tai Chi? What do you do, fall over? Unlikely. You're going so slow. So Tai Chi is best of all for you. If you want something a little more physical, it would be to do Aikido, right? But it's still circular and round. And both of these, Tai Chi, Aikido, and lastly, Qigong. Qigong is very good.
I'm not familiar with either one of those.
Yeah, Aikido is a Japanese martial art that's not like attack-oriented like karate. It's very circular. You actually work with a partner. Aikido, A-I-K-I-D-O. I means harmony or love. Ki means chi, means prana, means your energy. And do means the way of harmony with energy. That's a very good sport. Check that out. Go visit an Aikido class. They have them at YMCAs throughout the West Coast. Then check out Tai Chi, T-A-I Chi, Q-I or C-H-I. Tai Chi is the best of them all, right? We're talking all here to treat arrhythmia and rapid heartbeat.
Okay.
The worst would be jogging, jumping.
No worries.
So jogging, jumping, trampoline, and lastly bicycling, right? I used to love to bicycle, but you know, I don't miss it. I can say my vata's greatly calmed down because I used to bicycle everywhere. I haven't had a car for many years. On and off, I buy a car and then sell it. Go, what am I doing with a car? And I go back to bicycle, but as a monk, you know, they don't want you to ride a bike. So there you go. So bicycling wouldn't be such a good sport for you because it's too wind, right? Maybe if you're in Hawaii, okay, right? But not in the windy, cold Bay Area, right? Especially with how people drive around here. So I'd say out of all the ones you mentioned, bicycling's worse. So I mentioned all this much time on exercise because to help the heart, you need to exercise the heart. The worst thing you could do is not dispel the tension, stress, and anxiety and change by not exercising. You gotta exercise, right? The Surgeon General says Americans need to exercise a half hour every day, right? So just before you came over, I was doing some exercise. Do a little bit every day. Just enough, Ayurveda says, not a half hour every day. It says until you sweat. So is it hard for you to sweat or easy?
It used to be really hard, but the older I get, it's not that hard.
Good. So every day you should get a little bit of sweat in your chest, the armpits, the back, and the brow, right? So we have urine, feces, and sweat, the three waste products. So every day you should sweat a little bit to detoxify, and it gets the circulation going throughout the body. It warms the blood and hence regulates the breath and the chi, prana, the electrical energy, the subtle energy, but also equally importantly the blood and the respiration. So it's really important. Because herbs I could give you are only 5% of the cure. I could give you very good herbs that quickly would regulate heartbeat and you go great. And then if nothing changes in your life, well, disease will manifest windily in a different way. So moving on, if you had to rank the anxiety, the irritability, and the depression, which shows off more often in the last 2 weeks?
Anxiety.
So make a note in Vata Calm, next to that anxiety, put a star next to that word anxiety you wrote there somewhere, if you signed it. If not, you can write it
anyway. Now what am I anxiety?
Yeah. So that's there more, and that's Vata. So to be nervous or anxious, right, feeling isolated or separated, lonely, even in the midst of friends and family, disconnected, this would all be vata disturbance, yeah? Okay. So next one is, how is your memory?
I talked to Jolene about this. I guess it's good for some things, but not others. It seems like I try to do the crossword puzzle every day, and that's supposed to help, but even that, I see clues all the time, and I think, gosh, I've seen this a million times, and I can't remember what it is, but I have a very good memory for where I've seen somebody or like, visual things, but I'm not good at remembering other things.
Okay.
So I guess it's okay, but it's not the best.
Okay. So next question is, in high school or college, do you learn fast and forget, or did you learn fast and remember, or did you learn slowly and remember?
The first one, learn
so
fast
and
forget.
Make a note in Vata column. learn fast and forget. This means maybe you could not study too much, relax, enjoy yourself, have a good time in high school or college, and then time for exams, cram like crazy, pass, and then a few weeks later go, gosh, how did I get a B plus on that?
Pretty much.
Okay, that's Vata. Pitta would be, oh no, I don't need to study, but I love to study. Right? And then Kapha would be a little bit of study every day, and then 30 years later they still remember it. Right? So you're more Vata that way, even though memory's good. So memory's good means Pitta, but to have learn fast, forget, that's Vata style learning. How's your blood pressure? Is it normal, or is it on the low side?
It's always been sort of low.
In a good way, or has the doctor said, wow, your blood pressure's really low?
I think in a good way. Nobody's ever commented.
Okay, that's good.
I think the last time I had my blood pressure taken, it was like 100 over, and that's high. Usually 100. Mine 100 over like 90, but it used to be 90 over 60 for
a
long
time.
Not
like 110 over, wow, so that's quite low. Wow. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not like bad,
but, yeah, but
it's very low. That shows, again, Vata. Vatas will say like 90 or 100 over something, right?
Yeah.
Pitta is more like 110 to 120. And the Kaphas, if they're chubby and overweight, high blood pressure, over 130 or higher. So make a note in Vata. In Vata column, you have low blood pressure in a Vata way. What determines if it's good or bad is, do you ever get up and go, oh my gosh, I'm a little faint, I better sit back down again.
Yeah, I get
okay,
that.
So make a note in Vata column, dizziness. So again, shows Vata. You should enjoy licorice. Did you ever eat licorice?
Yeah,
not licorice candy.
The black licorice,
yeah.
Strips or the...
Oh, that's not bad. At least has a little bit of licorice in it. I'm talking real licorice. So it would be quite useful to...
Is it good?
Licorice, right?
Well, I like
licorice.
I even like black licorice, but I don't know what is that like... I don't know if I have the licorice he's going to...
It's yummy.
But I...
I have quite a bit. I noticed it because of calming my pitta.
How did you know your pitta was high? No, you were low. What did you say?
My pitta was high.
How did you know that?
Because I was having like an acid tummy.
Yeah.
Makes your stomach feel better.
Yeah. And then what happens is my vata pushes my pitta. So when a change comes, and then my balance state turns into, and I have to go to the bathroom too many times, you know, it pushes it that way. I get like irritable bowel syndrome, as they call it in the West.
Mm.
You know, if my vata gets out of order, then it just pushes my pitta, because I have pretty high pitta.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
Got that new bike.
Oh.
Dang.
All right, so this seems a little strange, but here you go.
And this is licorice?
This is licorice, yeah. So I've given you a little bag of it. So what you do, it might look strange, so do it.
Yeah, what do you
around.
Just chew on it?
So just like maybe, I don't know, in the countryside we suck on a little piece
mm-hmm.
of straw, right? And we're just hanging out, sucking on a piece of straw.
So you don't really chew on it and swallow
you
it,
do.
You just...
You don't swallow it, you masticate it. So initially you just suck on it and print them out in the countryside with a piece of straw.
It's mucilaginous,
pretty good.
So it's slippery.
So you just gradually sort of gnaw
chew on it. You know, part of it you can actually chew, but there's some that's a little bit more wood pulpy.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay to swallow. I mean, normally they ground up this whole thing into powder and you swallow it.
Oh.
So, for years, before I knew anything about Ayurveda or Chinese medicine, I somehow came upon these and went, wow, this is incredible. I just walk around in my business suit, working in computers with my fancy suit, network engineer, sucking on the licorice sticks, and they thought I was a California weirdo when I was off in Chicago or other places installing computer networks, but what the heck. Yeah, and it really soothed me. And later I studied Ayurveda and Chinese medicine and found that licorice is very good to calm vata and calm pitta.
Mm-hmm.
So this will help raise your blood pressure in a good way, right? Because it is quite low in a vata way because you have occasional feeling dizzy. You have rapid heartbeat, you have a regular heartbeat, so licorice is a wonderful herb for this purpose. Yeah? It's not dry, it's a little mucilaginous.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you really do chewy, at some point you'll pop the whole thing in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just put it between your teeth and gums.
Chew.
A little bit of chaw. Vata soothing chalk, you just let it sit right there, right? No one will notice, no?
Hmm.
And you're chewing it, just...
Hmm.
And then maybe after a half hour, when no one's watching, patui. Spit it out, because it's a bunch of pulp. Okay? Hmm, that's great.
Or if you need the extra fiber.
Yeah, that's right. I miss these.
Where does this come from? Is this like a tree?
Yeah, it's from a licorice tree. Yeah, glycyrrhiza glabra tree.
Is that where regular, like the candy licorice...
That's where it comes from, except, of course, that's that's in the candy land, the candy version.
Hmm. Hmm.
Isn't it good?
It is good.
Yeah. So even people who go, oh, I hate licorice, those red candies are so gross, I go, let me bring out some real licorice.
Oh, but I like the candy, too.
Yeah. So the candy has so little licorice content, especially the red stuff. It's fake often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that would help you a lot. And that way, you're getting a slow, subtle dosage throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it says in here, please enjoy. Now, that's easy to do. It's not a it's not a euphemism there for, ooh, this is gross, like some of my herbs can be. Lucky you, Vata, you get to have sweet herbs.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fit to some, no bitter herbs for you. So please enjoy one stick about 5 times a day. Right? So this is about probably 20, 30, 40 sticks there. Something like that. That should last you about 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Danville, is that close to Walnut Creek or no?
Yeah.
So then you can go to Elephant Pharmacy in Walnut Creek. If they've opened yet. I think they have.
I think I've seen it. I have seen it.
And buy more licorice sticks if you're not back here.
Oh, there's one in Berkeley I've seen. I'm in Berkeley now. But...
Alright. Alright. Here is your motto. Stay busy. So above Pitta, which you have a little bit of Pitta, but not really out of balance, write the word don't hurry. That the people, they're impatient, so they rapidly become the patient of a doctor, so don't hurry. Right? Yet stay busy, physically active, including mentally busy, but don't hurry. And then Vata's is, above wind, you could write the word, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
So the motto is, stay busy, to soothe kapha, but you don't have any kapha imbalances. So you don't have to stay as busy as a kapha, but you still should exercise in a calming, graceful, circular, round, earthy way, or watery way, the ones we talked about. Don't hurry means don't be impatient. If you're impatient while driving or while doing anything, while taking herbs to hope to get better or whatever it is, you're going to make yourself worry, right? Because you're in a hurry. So basically the mantra is to soothe kapha, pitta, and vata is stay busy, don't hurry, don't worry, be happy. Okay? So there's that.
It's sweeter than you think.
Sometimes
the more you the more your saliva deals with it, it's like sweet, very sweet.
Mm.
You
want
one, don't you?
Well, I'm curious.
You want?
Later. I can spit it out.
I've eaten with some of those sticks. I've actually chewed it down where there's no pulp. You know, it just kind of chews up naturally, and I swallow the whole thing. So sometimes it just depends. It's not necessarily pulpy.
So next question is, do you have 1, 2, 3, or 4 bowel movements per day?
I want to
give you some in there?
Sure.
Try some tea?
One if I'm lucky.
Okay, there you go. So in that case, you should eat the pulp, swallow it, because we need some fiber. Right? Nothing wrong with it?
I'm working on it.
More? So you eat the pulp. So you need some fiber. But more importantly, we need to ask you, that's an 8-ounce cup of tea there, but I'm not talking about tea, I'm talking about water. How many cups of water do you drink per day? 2, 5, 10, how many? Pure water, not liquid.
That size of a cup?
That's an 8-ounce cup, standard cup.
I bet you, maybe I have four glass, I mean, I'm probably four if I were to be reasonable.
A glass would be taller, glass is like 12 ounces or 16. It's still about four.
Yeah,
maybe?
But I'm not a... I don't pour a huge glass of water either.
Okay.
So it's probably about that
so
size.
So make a note in the Vata column. You said one if you're lucky. That's constipation. Number one reason for constipation is?
Lack of
dryness. Lack of water. Warm water. So do you drink room temperature, cold, or warm?
I just drink it out of the tap, so I guess it's...
Okay. How about at a restaurant? Do you drink the water they serve?
Yeah.
So make a note with the following mantra. You already had one mantra here. Stay busy, don't hurry, don't worry, be happy, right? The next mantra is, ice is not nice. Ice is not nice. Right? So for you, truly, ice is not nice. Because ice contracts. Heat expands. Cold contracts. And contraction means anxiety. Contraction means holds on to the bowel movement. Contraction means the heart contracts irregularly, right? So ice causes contraction, yeah? Anxiety is a cold emotion. Anger is a hot emotion, right? But you said anxiety. So all this is vata. And vata's number one aspect after dry is cold. So for you, whenever you go to a restaurant, new habit should be, excuse me, I'd like some hot water. And they serve you cold water and go, no, I don't want some hot water. Hot? Did you say hot? You mean you want some tea? No, hot water. And it's almost impossible to get this done, but once they get to know you, they'll bring you hot water, because we're ice chewers in America, mm-hmm. and it's why we have huge obesity, right? One of the reasons is constantly chewing freezing cold ice, and it just puts out our digestion. So you know that enzymes can't operate at freezing cold temperature, right? They need a certain temperature of warmth to activate, right? Enzymes need heat. And we're constantly putting out our digestion by drinking freezing cold beverages with meal. This is a new concept. We didn't do it for the last 10,000 years. It's just in the last few years we're constantly drinking these freezing cold beverages. Mm-hmm. Right? So there you go. So ice is not nice. Next is, write how many cups a vata should drink. The cup range is, you ready? 8 to 12 cups of water. Then over in the kapha column, you could write how many kapha should drink. Put 4 to 6. So someone who's chubby, we're talking obese, they have water retention elephant leg syndrome, they should drink 4 cups of water. So you're basically chronically dehydrated, at least from all these other factors. You couldn't have all that vata disturbance without dehydration. It's almost impossible. Might happen, right? And maybe the other things are so out of balance and the water intake is fine. I just saw a patient like that this morning. It's like, wow, okay, let's look to other things. How about oil? Oh no, I don't use oil in my diet. Ah, there we go. But you're this thin. You need some oil. It's not like you're a chubby person who should be avoiding oil. So there you go. So, can I see your tongue, please? Sorry. Parchment.
I think I'm...
Okay, stick out your tongue further if you can.
Well, I got the little...
Push it to the side. Okay. Yeah, so you have cracks on your tongue. Let's show her the tongue diagnosis desk.
Oh, I'm on the desk.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, tongue diagnosis.
I'm not
expert here. So here we go. So you see these little bit of cracks here?
Mm-hmm.
Cracks here? You see lots of cracks here?
Yeah.
These people are really dehydrated. You see this tongue? Perfect. No teeth marks. No cracks. No line down the center.
Mm-hmm.
Line down the center like that. Back problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
No thick coating, right? This tongue right here is right here, very healthy. Yeah. No cracks, no coating. It's pink, right? So can I see your tongue one more time? Should we get a paper towel for
him?
Yeah. Okay. Do you need a towel?
Yeah,
okay.
Probably.
So.
In my kitchen?
Yeah.
With that liquor spitting.
Yeah, right. Alright. Very good. Can I take a picture of your tongue and that way I can show it to you? And that way, for a follow up, I keep a record of how it's improved or not. If that's
thank
okay.
You're welcome.
Now I'm gonna.
He's got my tongue too. It's okay.
Okie dokie.
Remember, he took our tongue.
So you see a little bit of cracks on your tongue, not too bad, a little bit geographic, not completely smooth.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows beginning of dehydration. So let me see again. Okay. And can you open your mouth when you do it? Okay, thank you. That's better. Okay, good. Okay, but overall we'd say not bad. Mostly I just see a little bit of dehydration. Yeah.
What about there's like a ridge that seems elevated around the perimeter?
Yeah, let's see. No, that's okay. That's normal. That's, I mean, if it were scallops, teeth marks, that wouldn't be so good. Okay. And she has a little bit of vata, right? A little bit. There's five people here looking at her. Four.
Anyone
on stage. So, but vata can be, or kapha can be a little bit shy to stick out their tongue. I've never seen that with Pitta patients, so I'm here.
What, you need another picture? There's not
right
light here.
All right. So there you go. So we see on your tongue that you have a little bit of, we could say, looking at the check mark list here, that her tongue is okay, normal, pink, no coating, not much coating, very fine. It's not like four-level coating. We'd say it's just barely one-level coating. No teeth marks, no crack down the center, but a little bit of what we would call the beginnings of chicken feet, dried mud in the desert tongue, meaning like chickens walking in the mud,
mm-hmm.
right? Geographic tongue, or there's like chicken feet in mud. So we could say geographic tongue. But you don't put two check, you don't put a full X, right? We're in the tongue section right here. So on there, you don't put a full X. A full X means yes, completely dehydrated. You could put like a quarter of a check there. That's just my system. Half would mean quite a lot of dehydration. And a full X means completely chicken feet mud in the desert tongue like we showed there, geographic.
I see okay, normal, pink, no coating.
Yeah, so you can put an X box and underline the whole thing. It's okay, it's normal, it's pink, there's no coating.
Okay.
And she didn't have, let me see your tongue one more time. Okay, good, she has no tongue tremors. So now can you close your eyes for a moment? Look at your eyes.
No. Wait, close my eyes?
Yeah, close your eyes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no eye tremors. That's good.
Mm-hmm. What did the tongue thing mean? That you said no what?
You mean all those other things?
No, you said something before.
Well, all you have is the dried tongue.
Okay.
You have a little bit of geographic tongue. Or mud.
But when
in
you
the desert.
Asked to see my tongue just a little... Just
I want to see if you have tremors. You don't.
Yeah, oh, what would that look like?
Just very... Well, your tongue would be like
oh.
this. It would be sticking out and it would
oh.
be shaking.
Okay.
The good news is your eyes don't tremble. Your tongue doesn't tremble or tremor. Some people have that who are really high vata in their nervous system. Sure that's not too bad for you, the wind?
I think it feels good, but if any, is it bothering
anybody
else?
It doesn't bother me. Okay. Well, that's good. Mm. If she still thinks it's good, okay. Vata's not that disturbed, even though there's vata there. So, nevertheless, the Chinese would say, and Ayurveda more or less agrees, the Chinese would say wind invasion can cause stroke, right? Not stroke, but more so it could cause palsy or facial paralysis, right? But it can also cause a regular heartbeat, right? All this is vata. So why do I say this? Because you're not sensitive to the wind, but given that you have all this vata, it's probably better to be cautious about too much wind exposure, yeah? Especially to the back of your neck. So when it's cold out, wear a scarf, right? Or, you know, generate some heat and, you know, close down your pores there, yeah? But better to wear a scarf. Or
yeah, just like lately I've been very hot.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's like yeah, so I don't know. So this.
So just
good,
be cautious of the wind is what I'm saying, because
okay.
the Chinese say that to have irregular heartbeat, rapid heartbeat, stroke, and palsy or facial paralysis, this
mm-hmm.
is all vata in
mm-hmm.
varying degrees of intensity, is from too much wind. One patient, student of Dr. Ladd's, drove from California to New Mexico to study with him for a year, and when he arrived, driving in his Volkswagen with the window down the whole time, with no air conditioning, even though it's warm out, it's a fast cold wind. He's going 80 miles an hour. And it's wind, and he came there and his face was paralyzed on his side. Now, of course, he's a vata guy to have such a thing happen. Right? I did that. It didn't bother me at all because I'm fire your pitta. But if a vata, even though they're more or less healthy, gets exposed to so much wind, suddenly, oh, this flesh is numb here, right? That's high vata, to have numbness. And didn't you mention something about tingly or numbness
mm-hmm.
when you came? Make a note. Tingly or numbness is vata. Numbness or tingly. That shows vata. And just a way to remember it for you too, if you bump your hand, your funny bone, and it suddenly is tingly, well, vata is the one most likely to bump their hand, right? Because they're not paying attention, they're a little clumsy. So when there's clumsiness or bumping your arm or something, suddenly the funny bone, it's all tingly. Again, vata cause and then vata effect, right? It's just a way to remember that tingly and numbness means vata.
You don't think kaphas are more clumsy?
No way. Kaphas are definitely not clumsy.
Swan-like.
They're swan-like, or they're elephant-like. An elephant's not clumsy, or they're bull-like, or they're cow-like,
mm-hmm.
or they're pig-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
No clumsiness, uh-uh.
Okay.
Now, someone is very vata-disturbed. Now,
yeah.
your husband's sort of kapha, maybe he's vata-disturbed.
Yeah, I think he's a
yeah.
little
vata. Well, that's a different story.
Okay.
But someone who's actually kapha primary in their genetic
mm-hmm.
makeup, but they're not vata-disturbed, they're
mm-hmm.
just kapha,
mm-hmm.
no, they're very graceful. Yeah. Okie dokie. Any other health concerns you wish to mention, besides the arrhythmia, numbness, tingly, rapid heartbeat? And the occasional constipation? Actually, occasional, you said on a good day you'd be lucky to have one.
Yeah.
Does that mean you could go for 2-3-4 days with no
BM? Oh, no. I don't go for that long. It's just, I think since we moved, I've sort of, my cycle is different with that, so I haven't gotten back on track. Partially, it's probably because I used to walk religiously every morning.
School. So you should have resumed that.
Yeah.
And religious means it means regularly, right? You got to go to Mass on time, right? So you got to go to your walk on time.
And I know that that's probably part of why things changed, but
yeah.
I think my only other thing, and I really am relatively healthy, it's the arrhythmias that freak me out every now and then. And, and if, you know, of course, I like that happening, so, and
sure.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but the other thing is I get really bad headaches, and
where
when
are the headaches located?
They're like that, and they're very much menstrual related. I know when I get one of those, what's going to happen next, and they're like the point where you just it makes you nauseous, and I know it's hormonally.
Pitta column makes you nauseous. Nausea headache is pitta, and the swath of which you should, the forehead is pitta headache. So they're not in the back of the head, the occiput usually, are they?
No, usually like you at the side.
So again, all pain in the body, with exception, no exception, is due to vata. But then you have to say, is it a pitta-type pain or a kapha-type pain, and knowing that all pain is caused by vata. A vata-caused pain, well, all pain is vata-caused, but a vata headache's in the back. A pitta headache is retrobulbar. So is it ever behind your eyeballs?
Mm-hmm.
Make a note in pitta column, retrobulbar, or what else would call it without such a fancy medical term, behind the eyeball. And sometimes one can feel behind the eight ball, right? Meaning a lot of stress and pressure. So retrobulbar. Also, would it be ocular, meaning in the eye orbit? Orbital,
mm-hmm,
that's also
definitely
called?
Yeah.
Ocular means the eye, but orbital? Yeah, like here?
Mm-hmm.
Again, pitta. We need to strengthen your liver. Do you drink alcohol?
Yeah.
How much per day?
Mm-hmm.
Per week?
Seems like it varies. I mean, this summer I feel like I've probably indulged more, but I think in a general sense, maybe in a 2 week period, maybe two or three glasses of wine normally.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. As long as it wasn't a glass a day.
No, I don't.
If you have liver
that.
Headache and you have a glass a day, that's the cause.
So
some people get headaches when drinking red wine.
Mm-hmm.
So do you like white wine?
Mm-hmm.
So switch to white wine and see what happens with same dosage, three.
Mm-hmm.
Dosage. I'm such a herbalist. Here's your dosage of red wine. So there you go. So white wine is less pitta provoking because you are having liver headaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't drink like Long Island iced tea or cocktails
no,
or something, gin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. That would really.
Or it's either beer or wine.
Okay, that's fine. Not hard alcohol. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you smoke marijuana?
No.
Okay, good. All these would provoke pitta, have liver headache. Do you drink coffee?
Yes.
How many cups a day?
I think I have like 1.5 cups. I think it
That's
amounts
fine.
To
in
one.
The morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay, no problem. You're not sleep disturbed. Black or cream and sugar?
Just black.
Okay. That's fine. Once a day is okay.
Okay.
Don't exceed one a day.
Yeah.
Because coffee is quite pitta provoking, right? If I drank a cup of coffee right now, a black cup of coffee, like a normal strong cup,
mm-hmm.
a fairly normal strong cup, I'd probably get a liver headache within about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I never get headaches, but if I drink coffee, I will, right? Because my liver, because I'm a pitta guy, and you seem to be pitta with vata, vata with pitta, we're similar constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Pitta, vata, vata, pitta, they have challenge for their liver, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good to avoid recreational drugs and moderate alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, do you eat hot, spicy food? Like Tabasco sauce and stuff?
I don't love really hot things like that.
That's good. Okay, so that's not the cause. Do you eat a lot of sour? Grapefruit, lemons, lemonade, orange juice all the time?
Mm-mm.
Vinegar, oil and vinegar on everything?
No.
Okay, that's good. All right, that can sometimes be caused as well. Too much sour, too much spicy, or too much wine, and wine is basically sour.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well,
that's
the headaches
call vinegar.
The headaches I get are definitely just like once a month, and they're definitely a precursor to the hormonal.
So during your menstruation, do you have more irritability, anxiety, or depression?
During?
Yeah.
I'd actually say it's right before that I have.
Okay,
all that.
Right before. Which one would be more? Feeling irritable. Feeling
irritable
anxious?
And depression.
Okay, so make a note in pitta column. Irritable PMS. So premenstrual syndrome, the syndrome meaning simply the collection of symptoms before menstruation, premenstrual symptoms are that irritability. Some women say anxious, that's more vata, yours is more irritable. Others say depression, more kapha. Okay. Do you get swelling, like edema in the legs, in the ankles or breasts?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that would be vata, kapha, water retention. Do you have painful menstruation or normal?
It's pretty normal.
Okay. Is it regular or irregular?
It's very regular.
So make a note in pitta column, regular menstruation, normal. It's not heavy, heavy menstrual flow, is it? Like, did you ever get checked into the hospital for hemorrhaging?
No.
Or just heavy flow called menorrhagia or metrorrhagia?
Never.
There's normal flow.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Super high pitta would be menorrhagia, metrorrhagia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a yeast infection tendency?
No, I've never had a yeast infection.
White discharge, leukorrhea, or yellow discharge?
Mm-mm.
Okay, white is kapha, yellow is pitta. So this shows healthy reproductive system. Do you have children?
Yes, two.
Okay, so to have two kids is somewhere easy for kapha or pitta. Vata usually doesn't have children or has tendency to miscarriage or tendency to infertility. So we know she's not vata in her reproductive system, she's pitta. Mixed with kapha. And tell me what time it started. What age as a teenager?
Maybe like 12, 13.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fine. Very early is pitta, very late, 16, 17, 15 is kapha. Early 8, 9, 10 is pitta. Okie dokie. Eyes okay?
Mm-hmm.
You get much acid belly, heartburn, acid reflux, acid regurgitation, any of that stuff? Burning gut? You get much gas, bloating, burping, farting?
I think as I get older I do.
Okay. So a little bit more gas. Make a note in vata column, some gas. And remember, vata means wind. Okay. Can I see your fingernails? Okay. You see she has an ever so slight white spot there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how my nails are pink and hers are a little pale? Just a little bit pale. Not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit pale, so it's some vata. Can I see your thumbnail there? Now you have to flip them to me so I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you see how they're quite pale, and hear how it's quite pink on mine?
Mm-hmm.
Mine's even maybe a little too pink because I'm quite pitta,
mm-hmm.
right? And I have a very clear moon, a
mm-hmm.
lun, right? So your moons are just barely visible, but mostly because of paleness, right? So you haven't had diagnosis of like anemia or anything like that, no?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. So nevertheless, it's just vata disturbed, right? When there's vata weakness of blood circulation, right, irregular heartbeat, all that can cause a little bit of poor circulation and hence pale nail beds as opposed to pink.
Mm-hmm.
If they're very red, that's too pitta. Mine are okay.
What about the moon? Is that absorbed?
She has moon. Let's see her moon on index finger and the thumb. You see how I have a moon here on my index finger and
mm-hmm.
the thumb and the middle finger?
You mean the right here?
Yeah, the loon. Yeah. So you're missing loon, but she has a little white spot there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hardly tell it because the rest of them are so pale. There's no, normally it's pink with a white spot. The white
mm-hmm.
spot isn't good, nor is it bad. It just means deficiency of calcium or zinc.
Mm-hmm.
So do you drink milk or dairy products?
Like
a little bit, a couple
yeah,
times
just
a week?
Probably every morning I have a bowl of cereal with the milk.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. Okay, I just say that it's useful to take a calcium supplement then, or if you're taking dairy products, then you're getting some calcium, but there's other sources of calcium in the realm of vegetables, right? And grains like
mm-hmm.
amaranth and kale and stuff like that. Okay, so when you eat your food, do you eat it at irregular hours or regular times? Irregular or regular?
I think it's pretty regular.
That's good.
Think?
Okay. Can I feel your pulse now?
Yeah.
So we'll tell from her bone structure. Rest your elbow on the table.
Oh.
So this is very cold here. Wow, so cold. So that shows quite vata. Here, can she feel?
Sure.
See, right away I go, oh my, quite vata, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe you don't know because you're quite vata. You go, oh, same temperature as mine.
Yeah, it's very cold.
Yeah.
Although
cold.
You did feel warm.
Yeah,
so this shows your vata disturbed. And also it's quite vata. She has very thin bone structure. It's not medium pitta. It's definitely not kapha, big, huge bone structure. There's some flesh there, though, but I feel a lot of boniness with small bones. So this shows more vata genetically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you meditate? Do you sit quietly and just watch your mind for 10, 20 minutes a day? Not really.
No.
So, my brother was a baseball player, a softball player. He was like quite an athlete, right? And he had rapid heartbeat. In the middle of like running around, catching a fly ball in left center field, he'd just get this tremendous rapid heartbeat and irregular. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to die of a heart attack. And he would just go, mind over matter. And with his mind, he would set it to normalcy, right? How could he do that, right? Well, because it is true. That's mind over matter. So when you get a regular heartbeat or numbness from that, heartbeat, lack of circulation, right? Do you have cold hands, cold feet?
Yeah.
So when you get cold hands, cold feet, but more importantly, something that comes on rapidly like that, a regular heartbeat, rapid heartbeat, what's happening to me, right? It truly is mind over matter. There's not a cliche in American English that says matter over mind, right? It's called mind over matter. So this means it's important to spend some time taking a break from sensory overload, which is what we have in the modern world. I don't care where you are, in the countryside or big city, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in sensory overload. That's what entertainment industry and TV is all about, right? So if you ever watch TV Land, right, on cable, the retro commercial, 1960s commercial, look at that. What do you think about this, sir? And they look at him for 30 seconds. Maybe they switch to his wife or something, right? And it's like, wow, they just looked at two people for 30 seconds, right? Now it's like, dip, 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 dip. And in 3 seconds, we've seen 10 images,
mm-hmm.
right? So the world has become incredibly vata, right? So to counteract this has nothing to do with religion or spirituality. You have to sit quietly, right, and watch your thoughts. Meaning, you wouldn't go to an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord buffet and have a little bit of sushi. Oh, Mexican food, I like that. Oh, some omelet, that's nice. Oh, look at that, they got some German sausages. Oh, I love the Chinese chow mein, too, right? But this is what we do with our mind every day,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if you don't watch TV, you can't help but do
mm-hmm.
it, right? So, what to do? And that's what to do, breathe. I go, what to do? You know, we breathe because we're, you know, we have to deal with all this. So how do we deal with it? We need to allow our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tongue, our body, and our mind to take a break and to go into neutral and then shut the car off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shut off the motor so that it's not constantly looking outside of itself, chasing after sights, sounds, smells, tastes, objects of touch, and thoughts. The thoughts, you have no choice. They'll constantly arise. But you could temporarily shut down the sense organs by sitting quietly. Right? Whether that be in nature, you know, looking at some beautiful tree or looking at some flowers and just sitting there and relaxing for 10 minutes without music playing, without listening to something, without reading, just sitting there looking at some beautiful nature thing, and that's it, right? So, I'll give you a handout off the website I told you to read
mm-hmm.
on daily routine,
mm-hmm.
but also on stress management meditation. So here's a nice little booklet that, unrelated to Buddhism or Hinduism or Taoism or any religion, it's basically simply guidelines of meditation,
mm-hmm.
non-denominational. It has nothing to do with any spiritual tradition. So in the modern world, meditation is just about digestion, right? And
mm-hmm.
it's about survival mentally, and that hence physically as well. So my brother, he didn't know he was meditating, but in a certain way, he would briefly take a break and then tell his mind, don't let the heart do that, right? Well, how could he do that? Because at some level, he did have some meditative ability that most people aren't aware of, they're not in touch with, but they have it. So it'd be really important for you to sit quietly for a little bit each day, but on a regular basis, right? You use the word religiously. So unrelated to any religion, it's good to just sit quietly and observe your breath. And the movement of breath is the movement of thoughts. Do you like lavender or sandalwood?
Sandalwood.
Okay. So I give as a gift to all my patients, as a timekeeper, 25-minute incense sticks, right? And that's my measure stick, no pun intended, it's my incense stick. It's my yardstick, measure stick, to see if they did their prescription. The prescription is light the incense and put it in a bowl of rice and just let it burn for 25 minutes.
Mm.
Or if you go, oh my God, that's too much, I don't have that much time in my life. Okay, that's good, everyone can spare 12 minutes. 12 minutes in the morning and 12 minutes in the evening. Light the stick and put it 2 yards away from you and just watch it burn, right? And watch your thoughts come up and watch them cease, right? So that will allow you to control your arrhythmia, right? And if you don't do that, and I give you the greatest herbal formula ever known to humanity, freshly picked, right? But you don't do meditative exercise, like swimming, Tai Chi, Qigong, Aikido, ballet, and walking in nature, not
mm-hmm.
in city streets. And you don't do meditation, well, the herbs might work for a month or two, and you go, amazing, Ayurveda is great. And then 3 months later, you go, Ayurveda is not good. It doesn't help me. I'm going to try Chinese medicine now. and that'll happen through every major medical system of mm-hmm. complementary medicine, and then still you go, oh, it's not healed, I guess I'm going to have to take what they told me to take, you know, some pharmaceutical. So that's really important. So there's 50 sticks here, when I usually see patients approximately every 45 days to 50 days for a follow-up. So you should have burned one stick a day. That means 25 minutes every day, or 12 minutes twice a day, right? Mm-hmm. So that's your thing. They should be gone in a month mm-hmm. and a half, approximately 50 days, 45 days. Ideally 45 days, because a few times a week, you ought to sit for longer than that. You ought to sit for 25 minutes in the morning, and then another 25 minutes in the evening, right? So this will very much help all your vata. I don't need to tell this to chubby kaphas because they're already so calm and relaxed. They never have any of these problems at all. On the contrary, I tell them, I want you to go running and jogging and jumping and trampoline and bicycling. And right? I have to be drill sergeant with them. So does this make sense at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's your measure of your compliance with the prescription, right? Are you taking the medicine? That's the medicine. This is a good technique. It's been working well. Patients have been reporting back, I used all those sticks, mm-hmm. and that really helps. Otherwise, I'd forget. But now I could look and go, oh, a little bit behind schedule. Okay, I'm going to sit a little bit more today. But just like you wouldn't pump iron like crazy for 5 hours once a week and
mm-hmm.
exercise like crazy, all right, how can you improve your health doing
mm-hmm.
that? But if you exercise a little bit every day, meditate a little bit every day, that's way better than all at once. Okay, and then you really need to increase your water intake, because currently you're drinking water at the level of someone who's chubby, water retentive, and elephant leg syndrome, really. So increase that water, but fortunately you're not too out of balance, but you are borderline constipation,
mm-hmm.
and you are borderline vata. So let me feel your other side pulse. You'll have to remove your watch. Okay. Okay, can I see this side again? So, can Padgett feel your pulse? You just wait until I've finished. She knows that, though. You don't want to have two people feel the pulse at the same time. Okay, so you could turn and face her a little bit, and she'll move a little closer. So generally, it's good to pull up a chair, just so you know, and always sit opposite
right.
the patient, just so you know, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, you're both at the same level and relaxed, facing each other instead of one's twisted. Did you memorize pulse positions yet, of organs?
Well, yes, but we're doing a different method at Mount Madonna.
Yeah?
Yeah. But
are they radically different? Tell me where is the various pulses.
So we're not focusing on the organs, we're focusing on where the spike is, vata, pitta, kapha.
That's good, but how can you tell which organ is imbalanced?
Because we're not doing that yet.
Okay, well you could do that. So you've memorized them, right? So
okay,
you know that, like,
so
lung, right? And?
Liver.
Liver, middle one, right?
Liver.
And vata, pitta, kapha circulation.
Kidney, gallbladder.
Yeah, that's right.
This one. And then heart.
And you missed large intestine, superficial.
Oh. Okay.
Superficial.
Oh, superficial.
Here.
Okay.
Superficial. Bags and tubes are superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Solid organs are deep.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lung,
mm-hmm.
large intestine,
mm-hmm.
liver, gallbladder, right? Circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's over here?
Heart.
Yeah, heart. And then superficial? Small intestine.
Oh, okay.
Deep is?
In the middle one.
Spleen.
Spleen.
And?
Okay. And
stomach.
Okay.
Yeah. And then here? We've got kidney and gallbladder, right?
Bladder. Urinary bladder.
Okay.
So it matches shiatsu.
Huh?
It matches the meridians. And
it matches Chinese medicine as well.
Medicine.
However, in Chinese medicine, the spleen pulse and the liver pulse are flip-flopped. In Ayurveda, it's in the anatomical position, so the right hand of the patient,
mm-hmm.
right, represents liver pulse, because liver's on right. Spleen
mm-hmm.
pulse on left, yeah. So, that's good.
So,
because if you haven't memorized them and you start feeling pulses, well, you're lacking some information. Because
mm-hmm.
you should be able to see the spike location, right?
Mm-hmm.
But pretty quickly, it's good to learn pulse location. Whether you're Chinese or Ayurveda, the same, at least with Dr. Lad's system and Ayurveda,
mm-hmm.
Chinese medicine, they're the same pulse positions.
Right.
So then you just go, do I feel it superficial?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's vata.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel the spike at the distal, distant from the patient?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's vata.
Mm-hmm.
Medial means in the middle, pitta. And up close, proximal to their heart, up close to their heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you do it that way? Or no?
We do.
Like what are the pulse pad significance to you in what you've learned so far?
Closer to the wrist, away from the heart,
uh-huh.
is vata.
Okay.
So that would be like at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, very
and
good. Okay, it's the same as Dr. Ladd's then.
Would be,
yeah.
That's what they took from Dr. Ladd is the swan, snake, and serpent. Swan,
well, that part's not
frog,
from Dr. Ladd. Believe it or not, that's all there is in all of Ayurveda in the classics
mm-hmm.
of anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single written thing any more profound than that,
mm-hmm.
right? Vata, pitta, kapha, cobra. Pitta, you know, sarpa and manduka,
mm-hmm.
frog, and hamsa, swan for kapha. So this Shangarara Samhita, that yellow text there,
mm-hmm.
that's all it says. There's nothing more.
So that's what they're doing at Mount Madonna. They said that they don't know about blending it with the Chinese.
Well, it's not blending it. Dr. Lai didn't blend it.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got an Ayurvedic system. There's many Ayurvedic things that don't have
mm-hmm.
to be written in the classic.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because actually, to be using that pulse location of where they feel the spiking, that's
mm-hmm.
not in any ancient classic at all.
Mm-hmm.
So where'd they get that? Right?
Yeah.
Chinese medicine doesn't have that
mm-hmm.
concept. It has other concepts.
Right.
In general, if it disappears on pressure, some of her pulses are a little feeble, shows vata disturbance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitta intense, boom, boom, boom. And kapha relaxed.
And
hers are a little feeble, vata disturbance.
We also use like the 5 sub-doshas.
Now that,
the positioning.
Yeah, I would actually criticize to
mm-hmm.
teach that first. When you don't know organs, right? Because treating organ pathology is more important than treating sub-doshas,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I bet you can't find many people, or many teachers even, who could name an herb for each of the sub-doshas, right? So
mm-hmm.
what's the use of knowing all that degree of specificity
mm-hmm.
when you can know the degree of specifics of mm-hmm. organs?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people in any medical system could name herbs for organs.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I'm surprised that they don't teach organs yet.
Well, she said that Well, I saw in the other students' notes, because I missed the first part,
okay.
the first 7
yeah.
months, that he lectured on the sub-doshas,
hmm.
but they want them more to focus on the swan,
that's good.
The cobra.
So ask them about that. You know, did I miss the organ pulse day, or how come we're not talking about organs?
Well, I asked about that, and they said later.
Oh, good.
Like, in some months to come.
Okay, that's good. So one thing I do is I focus on the ones that exist in all medical systems.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-doshas are cool. They're a unique
mm-hmm.
thing about Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm.
But to teach that without covering the things that all medical systems agree on, that we have organs,
mm-hmm.
is a little bit cart before the horse in my
right.
book. But,
right.
But some people do that. They'll teach the subtypes first.
Mm-hmm.
And classically, we teach the subtypes first because it's a way to get to know vata, pitta, kapha. But then you got to go into which organs.
Mm-hmm.
And in a certain way, the subtypes do match the organs. Because once you know your subtypes well, you could say which organ they're related to, right?
See, I would say when I felt someone, like the number that I would assign to
yeah.
it, which was predominant, and then if the spike was at vata, pitta, kapha, if
right.
it felt like a swan, a snake,
yeah, that's
or
a good
a
way. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplest way is a deficiency pulse. Your pulse is a little
mm-hmm.
deficient. It's not intense, bounding up and down, and it feels very cold there, and cold causes deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Heat causes excess, right?
Mm-hmm.
In general, in Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, Tibetan medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So her pulse is deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right away it feels cold, and then you feel it, you could barely feel it, it's a little faint, right? That's deficient.
Mm-hmm.
So hence it would either be vata or kapha. How would you know which? Well, hers is cold and dry. I didn't feel wetness there,
mm-hmm.
right? And I didn't feel fattiness or chubbiness there. I felt more thin, right?
What
so this shows vata.
What would be more bounding?
Well, you know, when
muscle.
We say the word cold, clammy,
mm-hmm.
right? What kind of animal is a clam? It doesn't fly. It's in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So cold, clammy is appropriate, again, poetically of the beautiful language, because
mm-hmm.
clam is ocean animal, and clam is ocean is kapha, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cold, clammy skin means it feels cool,
mm-hmm.
but there's a clamminess to
right.
it, a wetness. Hers doesn't feel that at all. It's dry and cold.
So just the quality of the skin you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so quality mm-hmm. of skin, and then you say, does it disappear and
mm-hmm.
pressure? Is it feeble? That's vata.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely ever will get a kapha to do that.
Right.
Kapha, you'll find it once you get past their fat and their muscle. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah, I found this pulse there in this chubby,
the
fat kapha,
yeah.
or in this big, husky,
mm-hmm.
bodybuilder kapha. Oh, there it is. Look, it never disappears. I could push as hard
mm-hmm.
as I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can't occlude the artery. It's like, whoa, it
mm-hmm.
fights back in pitta.
Mm-hmm.
And in kapha, it doesn't even fight back. It's just like, oh, so what?
Right.
You can't push me around. I'm the defensive linebacker.
Yeah,
right?
It's very steady.
Yeah. So yours is classic vata. Neither good nor bad, it's just
mm-hmm.
a fact. So as much as possible, you should reflect on the attributes of vata, yeah? Which is in the handout called balancing vata.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at 1 hour and 10 minutes, so give you a brief bird's eye view summary.
Okay. By
flipping your page over to take some notes. So what spiritual tradition do you have affinities with, or do you have inclinations towards? Anything at all?
I don't. Really?
Okay. But don't doesn't mean like you're atheist or something. Or,
no,
okay,
no.
That's fine. So I just ask because Ayurveda says accord with what other people's spiritual beliefs are,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm going to have you write on the back of, let's see, that back of that sheet doesn't have space.
I have a little room right here.
Okay, good. So I'm going to have you write 5 things. Number one is, in the morning, take a bath. A shower is rapid. A bath is slow. But are you working? Are you at home? Or what are you doing?
I do work a couple days a week.
Okay. So take a bath. Baths take just as long as a shower.
Mm-hmm.
You just run the water before you get in the bathtub. So as much time as you spend in the bath, in the shower, spend in the bath. If I shake up water, shake, 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 and 10 seconds it goes to stability, right? But if I constantly shake up water, call the shower, and it's very hyperactive. It's very
mm-hmm.
vata. So baths are better for vata. Showers are better for kapha. So you should take a bath. But before taking a bath, item 0 is you should apply a little bit of sesame or sunflower oil onto your skin. So go get some sunflower oil. That's the easiest because it's the cheapest. At an ordinary store, sunflower oil. Not other oils, just sunflower. It's harder to find sesame, but sesame is good too. So apply 1 ounce of sesame oil. 1 ounce is this much. This here is a 4-ounce jar. So this would be gone in 4 days,
okay.
if it were full. 1 ounce of oil every day before a bath, right? Not after. The oil was on the skin first. The water touches the skin. The water's warm, and water repels the oil. So it pushes the oil deeper into the flesh because oil was there first. They repel each other, right?
When you say apply oil, you mean everywhere?
Everywhere in the whole body, but
okay.
1 ounce maximum.
Okay.
You're oilating the body
okay.
just a little bit.
Okay.
And first thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, drink 3 cups. That's a cup there. 3 times 8 is 24 ounces. 3 cup of warm water, first thing in the morning, to hydrate, lubricate your colon, urinary, bladder, kidney. Flush it out. Okay, so then you apply oil to the body, and you take a bath. So these major 5 points I'm going to give you, those are sort of like the precursors to it, but here's the first important point, is apply some aromatherapy to your body every day after a bath or shower. So you like sandalwood? Well, then go to Elephant Pharmacy and buy some sandalwood essential oil. Yep. Or jasmine, or whatever you happen to like. Do you like this smell? It's a little bit spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That shows your vata disturbed. That's good. It's good tulsi. Right? I smell it, and that would give me a headache really quickly.
There is a little bit of a spicy element to that. I can tell
yeah, see,
at the end.
Woof.
I love tulsi tea, though.
It's okay, yeah, because she's a little bit more pit
uh-huh.
than you. So if you like it, yeah, so, then it's probably good for you, right? Oh, that's just too much
I'm
for me.
I'm sorry, I'm wondering if you like it, because you like spicy stuff.
What is that?
Because I can...
Holy basil. Indian
yeah,
basil.
I like it.
Yeah, you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's vata as well.
Mm.
So again?
Yeah, I kind of like it too.
Okay, great. It's very good. So I'd like you to apply this right after a bath. This is step one. The other things were like precursors.
Oh,
basically,
wait,
I'm going to give you...
Step one, apply. Wait, which one am I
These were all the, you know, just some general guidelines. Number one,
oh.
drink water. Number two, put oil on your body.
Okay.
Number three, take a bath.
Okay.
But those are just points. They're not
okay.
steps.
So now we're on...
Step one. The important thing is after a bath, I'm giving you a 5-point plan
okay.
to calm your arrhythmia.
Okay.
Number one, put this tulsi, holy basil, essential oil on your crown. Single drop, right? So this is the different one. I wouldn't put tulsi on me. But I'll put some cuss.
Well, where do you get that?
From Banyan or from other places. Very easy to find at Elephant Pharmacy.
Okay.
There's all kinds
okay.
of ones. But
okay.
We'll give you this tulsi is best. So I use cuss so that I don't cuss. Cuss is a Sanskrit word, and meaning it keeps me calm, so I don't do any
so
cussing.
You just put it on the crown of your head?
Yeah, one drop there.
Okay.
If you had a live-in acupuncturist doctor living with you, they would stick a needle here to calm you down. And they'd stick a needle here, which is where you should put the next one. So crown and third eye. And they'd put a needle right here in the fold of the lip. They'd go needle, needle, needle. And you'd get very calm very quickly. Yeah. So
where
these are acupressure points. Third place is right here.
Oh, right, okay.
Third eye. fold the lip, but don't stick it in your nose by accident or get it in your lips. It burns because it is an essential oil. And you don't need to dilute it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put another drop on your sternum, your breastbone. Then you put another on the belly button, and lastly on the tailbone, the coccyx, at the base of the spine. Crown, third eye, fold of the lip, soft spot, I missed that, soft spot right here, on the throat, sternum, breastbone, belly button, and tailbone. These are, in general, some neuroplexus. Neuro means neurological, plexus means network. It's a network of nerves coming together. So that's step one. Now you stopped and smelled the roses, even if it's winter out, right? It's like, oh, I smelled the holy basil, or the roses, or whatever. But rose is good for you as well, so is jasmine, right? Pretty much when Vata is disturbed, almost any fragrance is good. Because fragrances are earthy. They're earth element. You're smelling things. Smelling is earth element, yeah? That's why shit smells. Shit is Sanskrit word for earth, yeah? So we say shit smells. So it's because earth smells. Earth element is related to smell, the sense of smell. And when people are constipated, they can't smell very well. They're unaware of smell. And with a cigarette smoker, that affects the lungs, but the lungs are paired with a large intestine, makes dryness in lungs, dryness in small large intestine, rather, constipation. And hence, people who are cigarette smokers have bad sense of smell as well. So there you go. That's step one. Step two is do 5 minutes. Now is when you light your stick. Now is when the 25-minute countdown is going. We light your stick. And you do 5 minutes maximum of gentle yoga stretching, if you like yoga. Or if not, some very gentle stretching, or go learn some Tai Chi. Take a Tai Chi class at the YMCA or someplace like that. Or a Tai Chi class or Qi Gong, something like that. Some gentle, earthy, grounding, aware of your breath exercise. Where you notice a slight increase in respiratory, a slight increase in heart rate, and you're doing some sort of stretching where you're relieving the tension from your muscles, right? First thing in the morning. I mean, this is when you're waking up in the morning sometime. I'll let you decide when, but it shouldn't be like at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It should be in the early morning. That's step two. Step three is you should do alternate nostril breathing. Have you heard of pranayama?
No.
So, in Ayurveda, they typically use, just like some people like to snort drugs through their nose and get a buzz from it, Ayurveda has people snort herbal oils. Sounds a little weird, but it works amazing wonders for nervous system and heart. So what you do is see where it begins to flute here,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it flutes is going to be about three to four drops. You know where it bottlenecks, right? So I'm going to give you this as one of your medicines. This has in it Brahmi, Gotu Kola, helps memory, helps anxiety. Then it has Vacha, helps speech, helps nervous system. It has a little bit of eucalyptus. Do you mind eucalyptus?
No, I can smell that from here.
Great. And lastly, it has some olive oil and some sesame oil. So you'll take a single drop of it middle of the day, when no one's watching because it's a little weird. Stick it in your nose. Another drop of it, stick it in your nose. And massage it around. And breathe in.
Takes away the dryness.
Takes away dryness, which Vata gets, right? But more importantly, that goes into the bloodstream very rapidly via the
mm-hmm.
most sensitive, fast vehicle to the bloodstream. That's why people snort cocaine in the old days, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Or drugs. So you're basically putting something in your nose to cause you immediately to get a calming on the heart, respiratory, nervous system effect
mm-hmm.
of these two herbs. Centella asiatica and Acorus calamus, Vacha and Brahmi. And skullcap.
Is it disturbing?
No, because it has Brahmi and it has skullcap with Vacha. It's harmonious to all three. So there you go. This bottle will last 1 month to 2 months maximum, but in your case, it should only last 1 month.
So
I don't need it as
just
much.
A single drop in each nostril
yeah.
daily.
Yeah, but that would make it last 3 months. That's all I have to do because I meditate. I have all these other things that make me be able to have my heart rate be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, until you get really proficient at meditating and you can actually say, wow, I really enjoy, and in fact, I see the need to meditate a half hour twice a day, right? So until that's the case and you're doing it every day like it's as important as eating and sleeping and exercising,
mm-hmm.
then you have to rely on this as a medicine. Right? Quite affordable. It's just $10 for a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So yours should only last 30 days. Why? Because before bed and as soon as you wake up in the morning, you should, so this is sort of a sideline of that. Point number two.
Okay.
You need to actually fill it up with three drops, meaning right where it bottlenecks or flutes. You see that? One drop,
mm-hmm.
two drop, three, four, five. Okay? So you need to look at that because you can't be doing what I'm about to tell you and just look at it. Why? Because you're going to be laying on your back, on your bed, with your head dangling over the edge of the bed. Your head's upside down. Can you envision that?
Mm-hmm.
So your nostrils are inverted, waiting to be reined in with five drops of this herbal mixture. Okay?
So you're just dropping it right in.
Right in your nose. Mm-hmm. 3 to 5 drops. Initially start with 3 because you've never done this before. Then you go, then you massage with your pinkies. Okay? Have you ever done alternate nostril breathing?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so let's do this together, yeah? I'll show you how. Did you ever go to Hawaii?
Mm-mm.
In Hawaii, they're like, hey, aloha, man, hang 10. Right? Everyone does this. They don't know they're doing a gesture, like a mudra, you know? Like they're doing these gestures that are actually part of yoga, but they don't know this. They're just like, aloha, hang 10, man. Right?
Do you warm the oil?
No, don't need to.
No.
It's just a small amount. Now, if you're really, 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 really vata, okay.
Yeah.
But ghee, yes, because ghee is solid at Bay Area room temperatures. But I've never told anyone to warm it. I suppose you could, but
yeah.
Have you found it a shock to your system to put this?
I guess just in the ears, you have to warm it.
Well, ears, that's a whole other story. There you have to.
But
nose, I've
anu-tile?
Never...
The anu-tile?
Anu-tilum, yeah.
Anu-tilum?
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anyone complain doing it this way, because it's just a small amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you squirted a giant amount, that'd be a different story, but you wouldn't squirt a lot in. You'd feel like, so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ear, yeah, you have to warm it.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're laying on your back. You already looked visually at the corner of your eye to see that you stuck it in and you're at where it flutes or bottlenecks, because then you know it's 5 drops. Because when you're laying on your back, you can't go, I see that's a 1, a 2, right? You can't tell how many drops, really, so you have to visually measure it first.
Because
if you just go like this and fill up the bottle, well, and you just squirt that in your nose, oh my God, you just squirted in 20 drops. You'll feel shocked by all that stuff in your nose. Just 3 to 5 drops. Then you do this mudra, this gesture. Mudra means gesture, right? So you go like this. I'll visually show you. I block this nostril. Now I block. Now I'm breathing in my right. I block. I breathe out my left. Breathe in my left. Hear how it's a little blocked? This is open. This is open. Right? This is blocked. Listen. I could still do it, right? So some people go, oh, it's blocked. I can't do alternate. Well, it doesn't get that blocked. It can, but you just breathe gently through the one that's blocked. They change every 90 minutes. It's how the left and right hemispheres of the brain are balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Your respiration changes every 90 minutes, right?
Really?
It's not equal, actually.
I've read that it's good to do that alternate nostril breathing during 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m.
That's good.
Midnight.
That's we can say sort of junctures. Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. But not at 12 noon, because that's when you eat your lunch generally.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to do nausea, nose drops. This says nausea, nose drops,
mm-hmm.
with food, right? You do it separate from your meal by a half hour to an hour. So 3 to 5 drops in each nostril when you go to bed and when you wake up in the morning. Women shouldn't do this while menstruating, right? Just for subtle energy reason. We don't need to go into why, but there's subtle energy changes. Really, we could say it doesn't matter, but since everybody thinks of all the details, so there you go. So this alternate nostril breathing is part of meditation, right? So if you ever took a yoga class, like she goes to yoga classes, they'll have you do this alternate nostril breathing. Not everyone needs it. If your mind is calm and you have good respiration, no asthma, no lung problems, no heart problems, then you don't need to do it. But you notice when people are angry, they go, right? It's just so they could calm down. They go, right? Or people are sad, they go, right? So we do this sighing or nose stuff because we're quickly balancing our emotions, but we don't know that we're doing it. The body's forcing us to do it automatically because we're so out of balance. So better to consciously do it to prevent disturbances. So, and then you stay on your back for 5 minutes and do this alternate nostril breathing for 5 minutes. That's quite important because if you come up sooner and sit upright, it'll gurgle out here, but mostly no, it'll go back into your trachea, your windpipe, and feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it won't hurt you though. Step three. Step one was what?
The essential oil on the crown and the
right. And step two, 5 minutes of stretching.
Okay.
Especially the places that you feel weak at, meaning weak like tension, right? So take a yoga class. Ask her. She knows about this fairly well. Enough to give you basics. And number three is alternate nostril breathing while smelling these essential oils and putting them in your bloodstream. Because vatas have disturbed digestion a little bit, not too much in your case, so it's better to absorb it straight into the bloodstream, right? Instead of taking the herbs this way.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, we human beings like to talk. Some of us are shy, but still the worst thing you could do even to a shy person is put them in solitary confinement so they can't make sounds to other living beings. They can't even hear sound, right? They'll start to go crazy and go, wah, yeep, whoop. They'll start making some sound because it's just who we are, right? We have the gift of speech. So what that says is when you have anxiety and regular heartbeat and hyperactive of this energy, we want to calm it. And one of the best ways to calm it is to fight fire with fire. Or in this case, to fight, not to fight, but to transform with sound, right? So sound is very powerful. Sound called ultrasound, it can dissolve kidney stones. It can detect the sex of a child, right? Right, so it can actually see through walls, so to speak, in a certain way, right? So sound is most powerful of all the different sight, sound, smell, taste, right? So we use smell, feel better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we use touch, meaning you're touching with your body, you know, acupressure points, yoga, right? You push on the ground and you feel the pressure of the ground on you. That's a certain form of auto massage. And the next one is we did breath and we're smelling those things, right? And we're breathing it. And next one is this third one. So the third one is basically you do chanting. It has nothing to do with religion. So it's not chanting some chant, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, whatever religion you are. Om Mani Padme Hum. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaning, it's words that have no meaning. So in this ancient book here called Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu from 200 BC, second most translated book in the world after the Bible, this ancient Chinese sage, he says, stop thinking and end your problems, right? So our problem in the modern world, we're thinking, and getting hyperactive and arrhythmia, or whatever. So the way you counteract that is by using sound to calm the mind, right? So that's why when we sing a song, we feel better usually, right? But singing a song is still singing a song. It's, when my baby left me, oh, I'm depressed now again, right? Or how sweet it is, oh, everything's good now, right? So either we're way up here, it's great, or we're down here, it's horrible, right? But usually with singing, there's no middle ground as much, right? It's because it's quite emotional. So the goal is to let the emotions and the thoughts calm. But we do that with sound. So I could tell you, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, right? But then you go, oh, I hated those piano lessons as a kid. You're giving me bad trauma memories. Okay, we won't use that. But that would work. So you could really use any sound to calm the mind. But sound that has no meaning at all. But do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, although it's a good mantra, it's a good sound, it has meaning. So I usually give a very simple one to people, and you could write this down. I'll write it on the back of your sheet here, your intake form, but you could write it as well, Shi. So Shi Dan Do. So you could chant, just for 5 minutes, the sounds, Shi Dan Do. So Shi is like anxiety, panic attack, arrhythmia, rapid heartbeat, right? Shi! You know when we're freaking out, we're like, Shi! Right? When we're calm, we don't go, Yee! We go, Ah! Right? We go, An! We go, Oh! Right? So the she is like, yeah, I'm way up here, right? I need to calm down. So it acknowledges our current state of being. She, but we want to get it down to earthiness. Dan do. So she dan do. Next one is bo. Bo da la. So this is very good mantra for vata especially. Mantra just means sound to balance. It has no meaning per se. They're just sounds. Shi dan do bo da la. Shi dan do bo da la. So you chant that just for 5 minutes out loud, just enough that you could hear it. You know, you're not shouting it, nor are you going silently, your mind only. So it's shi dan do bo da la. Take a breath. Shi dan do bo da la. Right? So there, do that 5 minutes. So step four. Five. That was step four.
Yeah.
Step five is do what it says in this book. Meditate, right? Meditate means just sit there quietly with your back straight, your teeth relaxed, maybe slightly parted or slightly touching, doesn't matter, but not like gritted, but just relaxed, and your tongue touching your upper palate, the hard palate, and just sit with your back straight in a comfortable position, ideally in a chair, if you can't sit on the floor, right? It's better to sit on the floor with a warm cushion and a blanket over your legs. Can you sit in cross-leg position,
mm-hmm.
where you just sit cross-legged? Means a comfortable position, yeah? Can you do half lotus, where you just put one leg up and let the other relax? Would you mind demonstrating?
Oh, sure.
So first show her sukhasana, just comfortable pose. So just sit like that. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How about, can you put half lotus, just one up?
Yeah.
So just do that, half lotus. Full lotus is even really good,
okay.
but it takes some while to get to full lotus. So half lotus is good. It's more stable, actually,
mm-hmm.
for the mind. Yeah. So do this half lotus and just sit there for the length of this incense, which, by the way, I already started burning. 5 minutes yoga, number one. We didn't count putting the nose, the eye drops,
mm-hmm.
or the aromatherapy. That took seconds. So 5 minutes of yoga. We lit the incense stick. We do 5 minutes stretching. Yoga is means basically stretching. We're talking exercises
mm-hmm.
here. 5 minutes of aromatherapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nose drops, alternate nostril breathing, right? And now we're breathing in more deeply the ones that we put on our whole body because we had a bath. And step four, we're doing some chanting. Shi, dan, do, bo, da, la. Yeah, just 5 minutes of that. So that's 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Ah, we have 10 more minutes left. And the 10 minutes left is what you spend on the last thing, right? Which is you sit quietly and watch your thoughts, watch your breath. Initially, just watch your nose. Oh, yeah, this is open. Oh, this is blocked. And now just watch your in-breath. Watch your out-breath, right? And of course, in the midst of watching that, you're going to have thoughts come up. Oh my God, I'm hungry. Oh my God, I miss my kids. Oh, Los Angeles was, it's different here. Now all the blah, 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 right? Oh my God, I'm getting rapid heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. If you do all those things regularly, every day, over time, you won't get rapid heartbeat anymore. Because it truly is mind over matter, right? My mentor had tremendous asthma with inhalers all the way up to age 18. He meets a Chinese medicine doctor who's a Buddhist monk, who teaches them how to meditate, and within short time, he threw out the inhaler and never touched it again in the rest of his life. Even though the doctor said, you must be on this for the rest of your life, he had really serious asthma that he was even put in special ed school, because he so much disturbed the other kids via his wheezing. They put him in with the special ed kids because he missed school. They kick him out of class. I'm sorry you're disturbing everyone. Get out of class. They used to do that, and I don't think they're that uncompassionate now, but... So there you go. So this would calm so much your vata and the nervous system and the mind, right? And then what you could do, the last 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes, watch your breath. The last 5 minutes, because it's 25-minute stick of incense, right?
Mm-hmm.
25 minutes once a day, is get out that handout called Balancing Vata that you printed off from our website.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it and go, dry. Okay, let's see. Do I have dry in my body? No, not anymore here, because I got that oil in my nose. That's nice. Oh, I do feel dryness in my lips. Maybe I should drink water instead of coffee in the morning. Black coffee, wow. Oh yeah, the black coffee, although I love it, I feel it's really drying. Oh my God, I have cotton mouth. Whoa. I never noticed that coffee is drying. Maybe coffee's not good for me. Maybe I'll give it up down the road, right? Once I develop energy via other methods than coffee, right? And so on and so forth, right? And you look at these attributes of vata, do one attribute a day,
mm-hmm.
or one a week if you want. There's only about 8 attributes of vata, but the foremost is dry. Oh yeah, I don't drink much water. You're thinking this in your mind, but now your body and mind are calm. Oh, look at that. I see what he means. I'm only drinking 4 cups. My gosh, that is too little. Oh, I've been drinking more water now for several weeks. I feel a lot better. I noticed I have a bowel movement every day without fail now. Oh, just from drinking water alone. Amazing. So you start to contemplate with a calm body and a calm mind the attributes of what are in excess in you. Because you have all this vata disturbance, right? And then over time, you don't need to take a medicine. You don't need herbs. Herbs are only 5% of the cure.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't go over this and you know how to do this,
mm-hmm.
if I didn't mention all that and I did it, some incredible herbal formula just fresh picked there, it can't help you anywhere near as much as this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And this doesn't apply to everyone. A kapha doesn't need to hear all this. They're naturally that way, right? They need some other advice. Get out there. Jog around the block. Come on. We're going to jog 5 miles every morning at 4:30 in the morning, right? Totally different advice than you need. So is this logical? Does it make
mm-hmm.
sense? Does it relate?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm going to make a very simple herb formula because it's only 5% of the cure. So we'll just give you a couple simple herbs to soothe your vata. So the foremost herb to soothe vata, Paget, who is now on her oral exam, which she's taking next week, and she's getting it a little earlier than expected. Uh-oh. Ashwagandha, very good. So, 5 parts ashwagandha. So, she's going to entirely come up with your herbal formula, and I'm going to correct her if she's wrong. Because she's doing her oral exam next week, so she should know this by now.
Mm-hmm.
This is pop quiz. Okay, 5 parts ashwagandha, which soothes what?
Sujvata.
Yeah. And what,
equal kapha.
Very good. And what's it called in Latin?
Venia Samothera.
Great. And what's your second herb going to be?
Bala.
Very good. Excellent. How many parts?
4 parts.
Perfect. Exactly. Formula I would have done myself.
Cedar cordifolia.
Very good.
And it's Vata Soothing, Pitta Soothing, Kapha Equal.
Great. And why are you giving Bala?
Because she's mainly has Vata vitiation. Maybe.
And in her heart. In her heart. Very good. Uh-huh. All right. What's your third herb going to be?
Well, the two other herbs that come to mind, one is she needs something for her liver.
Yep.
And the other one is for her heart.
What's the best heart herb?
She'll be doing Tagar.
That's a little too tamasic and dulling. Arjuna would be better.
Arjuna.
So let's say 3 parts Arjuna. Tagar would have been okay. That would have done the job as well. But, you know, I don't like to use wherever possible, unless they're really having panic attacks, which she's not. You're just a little Vata mm-hmm. disturbed. I don't like to use things that are very sedative. Like, Tagar is a little too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she said I had pain all over my body, that'd be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to shy away from Tagar where possible because it's tamasic. It's dulling. Mm-hmm. I never want to dull people's mind unless they're just panicking, right? So I try to stick with sattvic herbs, ones that bring clarity
mm-hmm.
rather than dulling. So what does it do to Vata Pitta Kapha?
I actually don't know about that one.
Is it mucilaginous or is it dry?
My guess is it's probably dry.
It's very dry, yeah. So it disturbs Vata. But we're only going to give a small portion, so it won't disturb Vata. So it normally would disturb Vata into Pitta Kapha. Best heart herb of choice. We could give a little bit of what other herb? We already gave it to her. Licorice. We won't put that in her formula because we're giving her sticks to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's next? Very good herb. What's the Agni herb? Herb number 10. Although we're not going to give her 10 herbs, we're making
right.
a simple formula. So bottom of the list here, Agni. What's her best metabolic fire herb?
Musta.
Yeah, musta would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Could do chitrak as well, but musta has got a good effect on the lungs, right? And when people
mm-hmm.
go and have a regular heartbeat, often you should treat
mm-hmm.
the lungs and the heart. So musta is probably a better choice.
And also for mind, for the irritability.
And the chitrak's good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you said no irritability, then I'd probably go with the chitrak. So what does musta do to Vata Pitta Kapha?
Musta is Vata equal to...
Yeah, unless you take a lot of it, then it would disturb Vata, because it's bitter. Okay, and what about what's going to help her liver?
Well, it sounded... I mean, but from a pulse, I'm getting, like, weak liver.
Yeah, so what's a good liver rejuvenative that's not bitter?
Rataki.
That's not bad. Better one.
Guduchi?
Yeah. So what's the Chinese name for Guduchi?
I don't know the Chinese.
How about the Chinese name for Musta?
Don't know
the name. You should know the Xiang Fu. Xiang. Xiang Fu for Musta.
Okay.
That's the only one I'll hold you to because it's super popular.
Okay.
How many parts Musta?
She's going to tell you.
Parts Musta, 2.
Yeah, that'd be good. And how about Guduchi, Tenospora cordifolia?
1.
Okay, and what's Musta called?
Cypress rotundus.
Very good. Let's use a little more. I would use more Guduchi.
2.
2 parts of Guduchi. So what's Guduchi do to Vata Pitta Kapha?
Guduchi is... Vata... Wait. No, it's a Vata soothing, Pitta soothing, Kapha equal.
No, it's actually good for all 3.
Oh, okay.
The bitterness helps Kapha, but it's not too bitter. Okay, give me one last herb. We're going to give her a 5 herb formula. Very simple, because when Vata is high, you want to keep it very simple.
So, Manas?
Yeah, so we have to ask her the all-important question. Do you feel it's more mind and emotions that cause the body to be out of balance, or is it more the body that caused the mind and emotions to be out of balance, in your case?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me say it a different way. Some people go, you know, oh boy, it's my stress and my anxiety. It's making me have all this digestive and heart problems. And others go, oh no, it has nothing to do with that. I actually do have physical body ailments, and they disturb my mind emotions.
Oh.
So other people go, no, it's my mind and emotions that disturb my body.
I think it's
and some people go, I really don't know. It's sort of equal, maybe.
I guess I'm the first, the one where it's the mind.
Okay, so mind, I thought so too. So what would be the nervine herb of choice? Yeah, Brahmi would be good. And what's the... Great, no problem. Okay, so now I know I don't have to quiz you on that part for your test. I could work on other areas.
Oh, no!
I will say, though, I've had the arrhythmia when I've been just completely relaxed.
Yeah, sure, because your Vata is high.
And I've just been sitting there, and I just, that's why, and it'll just surge, and you're like,
I know,
well,
cause
I
you,
even
that's
because
you have Vata just waiting to get disturbed. Even when you're relaxed, it's waiting there right at the surface.
Oh, and
Jillian,
right? Terrestris.
No.
No.
That's Gokshara.
Oh, shoot.
I guess I will quiz you a little more on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
No, but it was okay. You had 85, 90%, 90%.
No,
you had a B+.
Don't say it.
I should know it, too.
Oh, Tina Sporacoria.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, but we're not going to give her Gokshara. You don't have to get up to urinate in the middle of the night, do you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, she doesn't need Gokshara.
No.
Do you have lower back pain?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
See, she has no lower back pain. She has no getting up to urinate in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't, what's your age again?
46.
Yeah, so she doesn't have, like, huge dark circles under her eyes, so
right.
Her kidney's fine.
Yeah.
All right, so how much Brahmi, given what she just said to you?
Well, you know, I originally had down two parts, but I'm wondering if we should put it
Yeah, what did she just say? She just said it's mind over matter.
Yeah.
She said the mind controls the body, which is ultimately the truth.
Yeah.
But for some people, they really do have a physical body thing, and you need to treat that more to calm their mind. In her case, it truly is mind.
Yeah.
Right? When the vata of the nervous system, the mind's calm, the rest will naturally get better.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always the truth of it anyway, but most people don't like to admit that.
Yeah.
So we give a little more nervine.
Mm-hmm.
So five parts.
Five?
No, because she said it's mind.
Okay.
She didn't say his body. So you have to lead with a nervine there. And think about it. The mind and the heart are the same, effectively, right? In a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
You don't go,
yeah.
I go, hey, you. Who, me? You go, who, me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go, who, me?
Uh-huh.
This is when we're, oh, who, me? Oh, my God, I could have had a V8, right? So we don't go, me? Who, me? You talking to me? You talking to me? We point to our heart. Me, thought. So the heart, the thinking is here. We don't go up here. Okay. So we're giving her more nervine to soothe Vata. So what does Brahmi do?
Sorry. Oh, Brahmi tradition.
Yeah, soothes Vata with the Gata. Okie dokie. And we're going to add one more, which is the sister of Brahmi, which is?
Bringrash?
No, Bacopa.
Oh, Bacopa.
Bacopa, Moniera, Herpestis, Moniera. What's it do to Vata with the Gata? And why am I giving it? Because it's slightly warming. Vata soothing, pit kapha soothing, pitta equal. So it's a slightly warming, so I'm giving her a second nervine by using the South Indian species, so to speak, of Brahmi.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put four parts of that. So we're basically going five Brahmi, four Bacopa. So I'm going a little heavier on the nervine.
Where
and ashwagandha is a great nervine, huh?
Well,
you put it in the manas section. Herb 8 and herb 9 are manas, mind. There you go. So she has six herbs, seven herbs. Five, ashwagandha, four, bala, three, arjuna, two, guduchi, and guduchi helps the heart as well. Ashwagandha helps the heart. In fact, these are all indirectly or directly heart herbs. Four, bacopa, five, brahmi, and three, two, musta. So how much are we going to give her? Half teaspoon or one teaspoon?
Half teaspoon.
And why?
Because of her height-weight ratio.
And because of her high vata. Actually, her height-weight ratio, we could use one herb, one teaspoon. But are you sensitive? Here's what you always have to ask when there's vata, if you suspect it. Are you sensitive to herbs or no? Or don't know? Because you never tried
them. I did. Well, I guess I went to a homeopathic doctor one time and I was highly sensitive to those. They were drops.
Yeah, so highly sensitive. So half teaspoon. Three or two times a day?
Three.
So initially.
What if you said you didn't know? You would just err on the lighter side?
Always. Only because you're vata. If you're pitta, pitta's like, no problem. Yeah. Bring it on. And Kapha would be like, what?
And then Pitta,
nothing
sorry.
Bothers me. Huh?
And then Pitta, sorry.
Yeah, because they took too much, right?
Okay.
But all they get is loose stool. They'll just get loose stool. So one half teaspoon two times a day in her case. We'll work up to three times a day. But two times to start for 6 weeks supply, as always. And what's a good anupan or catalytic agent?
Well,
not for
vata.
Oh, honey, be okay for vata, but
what
does she even need one?
I don't think so. I mean, except she mentioned like menstrual things, and when you have aloe vera gel, and we're not really addressing that this time.
Did you have painful menstruation?
Uh-uh.
I don't remember her mentioning
that. Headaches.
Headaches.
The
Rami
is going to help with the.
Yeah, that helped with all that. And ashwagandha
that.
Will help with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always like maple syrup.
Yeah. It's good.
Who does
it? So maple syrup's not good for whom?
Vata.
Huh? For kapha, mostly.
I thought vata as well. I don't think
secondarily vata, just because it's a little bit rajasic, ever so slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay for vata, because it's still sweet. It's just subtly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's definitely not good for kava.
Well, there are other sweeteners that are better for vata.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we could just say we don't need to give her anything. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, do you have a history of alcoholism? Or alcohol abuse?
Not really. Okay. My grandfather maybe, but is that too remote?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. So do you mind if I give you a 2 to 4% alcohol, a wine that you'll take a teaspoon of with these herbs? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's good. Arjuna is nice when it's extracted out via water boiling and then added to make it ferment with some tataki flowers.
We
did for you a fructosa.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this like a...
wine.
So this will be daily?
So you put the wine, like a teaspoon, into the herbal...
So you'll be... The alcohol will be the vehicle.
So this is an herbal wine. It's 4% alcohol. Mm-hmm. You'll take a teaspoon of it. Here it says to take 2 tablespoons. Which means 6 teaspoons, but you don't need to because I'm giving you a customized formula. So what it says, I'm 41, you can see. Time for new glasses. And it's dark out. Traditional formula recommended as a cardiac stimulant. Now, that doesn't mean it'll stimulate your heart and make you dee-dee-dee-dee-dee,
mm-hmm.
right? So ignore that. It doesn't really mean that way. It's a good rejuvenative, and it controls blood pressure, both high and low. It's indicated in classical texts, these ancient Sanskrit texts here, for heart and lung diseases. It's effective in combination with Dashamula or Ashwagandha. Well, she chose Ashwagandha because
mm-hmm.
you didn't have all this vata in your gut. Dashamula would have been another okay choice for her. If you chose Dashamula, you take out the Ashwagandha bala.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so we're going to give her this herbal wine, right? 1 teaspoon of it. So let me go, huh?
What kind of wine is that?
Partadya Arishtam. It's Arjuna wine.
Oh, Arjuna wine. Okay.
So, which is said on the form here as... that one is not listed, I don't think. Nope. So you can order all of these from, but Saraswati they have a hard time getting, at oilbath.com or Try Health.
Does Saraswati have Jatamamsi in it?
Probably not anymore, but yeah. So Arjuna wine, but that's its actual name of the herb, Terminalia arjuna, but the actual thing on the label that she'll see is Partadi. Partad. So P-A-R-T-H, Partadya. So Partadya wine, fancy word in Sanskrit to mean Arjuna. All this is Arjuna and some herb that makes it ferment and some jaggery and some grapes, Draksha, Vitis vinifera. So there you go. So this will be your catalytic agent that makes these herbs more bioavailable because it's alcohol based. 4 to 8 ounces of pure hot water. When should she take it? Before, after meals, or during meals? What's her main concern?
Well,
the heart or the colon? Which would you want to help more?
Well, actually, the heart thing is not a daily thing.
Yeah. So then better to bring it to the colon to soothe her vata. She has occasional constipation,
so
right? Before. Yeah. So you take it before. And why do you take it before?
Why do you take
anatomically.
It
why is anatomically vata...
Well, down, because it's going to hit the colon first.
Yeah, and then you put in the herbs a little bit later. So we could take it before food by about 15 minutes. Right? Sometimes with vata, if you do the 30 minutes before, right, it's a little bit too strong because they don't have some food to buffer it.
Mm-hmm.
So sensitive vatas. I don't think she's sensitive because she's not the panic attack type, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that
probably
true?
Ask my
that's
husband
true.
That.
Huh? Yeah, she's not like a panic attack. Oh, I'm freaking out. Yeah,
no.
She doesn't seem. She's a balanced vata with some vata disturbance. She's not like a nilly-willy, oh, I'm freaking out. Like some vatas can be. She's just a little bit vata imbalanced.
Who needs an amusement park?
Yeah. All right, so there you go. So, today's date is 8/25, is it?
It's 24.
24? 8/24/7. So, you could come for a follow-up in about 6 to 8 weeks. So, that means sometime in mid-October, approximately. Okay. So there you go. We started at, 6, and we end at 8. So, let me mix your herb formula for you, and you can sit and chat with them.
So is this going to just be in one bottle?
Yeah, it'll be a powder, just like you'd put a little bit of instant coffee or instant tea and stir it up. That'll be like
and
that.
And that'll be on
powders.
There on how to do it. It'll be very easy. Because
I'll even demonstrate it to you. It's really straightforward.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So let me mix it for you.
A Latin name for Bacopa?
Bacopa moniera, or Herpestis moniera.
All right,
I'll have yours ready in 5 minutes.
I'd like to have this done, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I was thinking that. Scotch. Scott's a cough. I'm pretty sure he is, based on what he was. I was thinking, yeah, he's having trouble with the metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you this drink would help him.
Yeah, really. This is really mind-blowing. It's wonderful how the medicine that's been around for 5,000 years, you know, and we have so little faith in it.
Well, it's funny because did you see the article? I can't remember. I'm sure I saw it on the internet. You know, they just a little thing about how they did this whole thing where other countries live longer than Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have all the technology and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just like, to me, I mean, it's something you've known a long time, just having gone to the doctor. It's like, man, I don't really want, you know, sometimes you know it's sort of simple, but you don't really know, so you wanted. Because, like, the thing, every doctor wanted to give me beta blockers, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I have them every now and then. I just don't feel like I need to take beta blockers daily for something
yeah.
that happens, like...
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, so I was like, okay, it's good to know, but I didn't want that. And I kept thinking it was, and I do really do think it's hormonal, and
mm-hmm.
that's when, but nobody listens to you.
The ashwagandha will help with that, too, and it'll help.
So it's funny because it says that Americans will partially... Here we have this whole medical system, and other countries live longer than we do. And what does that say
mm-hmm.
about how we do medicine?
I know. You know, I just heard today that, I don't know who it was, but it was a friend of Gwen, that they saw a shadow on her heart. I don't know what kind of test they ran. But they said, we saw a shadow, let's do exploratory surgery. So that's so deep. They went into her body to take a piece of the heart tissue to see if there was anything wrong with it.
Was she having trouble? Was that why she went?
No, she just went in.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Well, see, I actually was diagnosed with pearlized mitral valve.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Well, and I had to take, like, these huge doses of antibiotics before you had your teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
And then I had to carry a card, and every time, like when I had the kids,
mm-hmm.
I had to get like an IV because it, because they say like infection goes right to the heart, like endometriosis, whatever. But anyway, then I had a doctor that finally, she was really pretty good actually. She was, we should reevaluate this.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, and then I didn't have it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait, did I have it or didn't I have it?
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know.
Because like, they're just working with, like,
yeah.
each doctor is so independent, working with their set
you can't
of
afford,
diagnosis.
And as an individual, you can't afford to just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as an individual, you can't afford to keep getting second opinions.
Right.
And I mean, the truth of it is, it'd be nice to get, like, the consensus of at least five people that
right.
say the same thing, but nobody can afford to do that.
Yeah, it's like, well, three doctors say this, and
yeah.
two doctors say this. What should I do?
Yeah, but nobody has that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my husband is still shocked and surprised that we have to pay money to go to the doctor. He's British.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
But that's a shock. And
like, what is the? He's like, what do we pay health insurance for? Like, we pay and then we have to pay again. He's like, you're American. And then you're gonna sue someone, right? We're like a sue happy country. Do either of you have to use the bathroom?
Yeah,
okay. Look at all the tea.
So how far along are you with your schooling?
I'm just completing my first year.
Oh, well, so how much, I mean, how long does it take usually? Just depends on how...
I don't have a particular... end goal in sight.
Lifetime.
At least, I mean, I'm counting on at least two more years with them. And then it's just continued learning.
Mm-hmm.
It just never ends. So, yeah.
So you're a year, that's a good start. You've got a year under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that test, when are you taking your test?
On Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Good vibes.
How long does that kind of test take?
I don't know. Well, how long is it going to take, Wilson?
For what?
For the oral exam.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
About half hour maximum, because I just spent...
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, good. Yeah.
20 minutes.
So
now
he's
going to
grill me on all the herbs I didn't talk about. And all
sorts depends
of
what you say your major is. What's your major going to be?
Well, I was going to choose herbs. Herbs and psychology.
Okay, that's good. Well, you better know your Southpaw Rajasthamas. You better know your Sattva Rajas Tamas of herbs.
Oh, really?
Which herbs are sattvic, which herbs are tamasic. And you should know your Sattva Rajas Tamas of foods, which is on that handout I gave you.
Right.
And you should know what is Sattva Rajas Tamas manifestations about to put the kapha. And you should know 12-fold links, right?
Yep.
Dependent origination.
Yep.
And be able to explain what it means to me and how it can apply to help someone.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
Wow, the Sattva Rajas Tamas of herbs?
Yeah. Tagar is tamasic. Garlic is tamasic. Brahmi is sattvic. Pepper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cayenne pepper and spicy things are rajasic.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward.
That's
you could probably guess
out
and get them right.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you look at what I wrote down for the position? I don't remember him saying pericardium, but we learned in Chinese medicine that goes with a triple heater.
Yep.
Is that what you're doing?
Yep.
With that?
Yep. So, okay, for my question is when you say right and left, do you mean your right or their right?
I mean my right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be different than that.
Okay.
So, and which one is superficial?
Oh, the top one.
The top one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, actually, it goes on to this one, too. Right?
We're going to give her one part of skull cap.
Oh, I was thinking of that one, too.
Good job. Use the Chinese medicine,
Ayurveda, and
muscular
ball.
Valerian? Skull cap's really good.
But not valerian or tagar, it's too strong.
And heating. Valerian's heating and drying, right?
So the skull cap is gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a formula that has skull cap, bromi, and
so. Yeah, so I think you got them slightly messed up. Actually, I have even better. According to their right side.
So this shall be your dosage. Notice it's not a big heaping teaspoon. And there's some space in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So about that much.
Okay.
In some hot water.
Well, were you? Nathan and Scott come to mind right away, and I kind of would be curious.
You're
my buddy Mike over there.
What do you think? He the caller?
How big he is?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily has to do. Does it always have to do that you're big?
Yeah, you're right. So you know what? I'm maybe it goes the opposite way.
Scott does when she says his cough goes straight across. He's probably not there.
Heart goes with the small intestine.
Yeah.
Heart, spleen, and kidney. Oh wait, urinary bladder. Yeah, kidney.
Yeah. So this is messed up. You know what? The chart in the book is actually messed up.
See, this is how I had it. See, heart, small intestine, original.
Uh huh.
And that's small intestine, heart. So which one?
This
I thought
be nice.
Heart was.
I think this is a great way to meditate, to start, because you know you kind of need something that. So that'll be nice. Yeah, and then also.
These are hollow, and these are
solid. Bad thing is a good idea.
Colon, gallbladder, pericardium.
Although, problematic to wash my hair, but hard to wash your hair.
What is that according to?
You know what? There was actually in the book,
mm-hmm.
It's messed up in the book.
And Dr. Lai?
Yeah, they printed it wrong. They have a little errata shape in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. In the blue book? In the yellow book?
No.
Oh,
well, what kind of triple would we give her, Paget? Or not? What would we give her for bridge and what time of morning or evening?
Morning.
I say morning. Vata time.
Yeah. morning and hour before food.
Has active, strong constipation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, evening.
Overkill.
For Trifilla, you're asking?
Yeah,
evening.
Only if there's strong constipation.
With five parts hard talkie.
Then you do it morning. Otherwise, start by doing the strengthening of liver and colon by doing it in the evening.
Okay.
And remember, she's not super high vata with constipation as number one complaint.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to lead with hari talkie.
Yep.
So the answer is ordinary Trifilla.
Ordinary, yeah.
You only do a customized Trifilla when Vata's really, really high.
Well, ordinary Trifilla leads with hard talkie, right?
No, it doesn't. Look on the Trifilla handout there. That's going to be on your question list.
Oh.
Go look on the Trifilla handout that's on the back of, that's right here. Not this one, that, but the other Trifilla one that lists the dosage. Right? You'll see it over there on the wall if you don't have it handy.
Good
trip. So they're all sitting there. There's a whole bunch of them. Just pick through until you see the one that lists all the ratios. The handout for Virechana. You know, that lists what you're going to use.
It's not like.
It has castor oil and it has aloe vera gel and all that good stuff.
Not at all.
You should know that handout very well.
Not that. Yeah. Well, you. This is. Doesn't really like
liberation.
Mm. Remember that licorice I used to get at Trader Joe's? It was all natural. I liked it. And I remember giving a piece to Andre and Nathan when I visited Colorado.
I've never seen this one before in my life.
Oh, I definitely passed it up.
I'm going to have to.
I swear I haven't been around.
Where's the bathroom? Let's just do that.
Through there and to the right.
What is that sound?
Oh, chanting.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing over and over,
totally
or
different.
Is it one
line? No, we didn't go over it, but I passed them out.
No.
I pass them out regularly. No? You never once in that hour? You sure?
Last time?
Huh.
Which chanting are you playing right now?
This is the Sharangama mantra.
Mm-hmm.
It's the longest mantra in Buddhism.
The heart?
It's chanted by Master Xuan Hua, my Buddhist teacher.
How long is it?
It's 554 lines of Sanskrit. At his slow speed that he's chanting for the purpose of people learning it, it takes about 25 minutes to chant the whole mantra. So there's not even, I've asked for the longest mantra in Hinduism, it's 5 minutes to 8 minutes, right? So they'll chant this rapidly if you're kapha disturbed, like sort of dull-minded and want to perk up. They'll chant this going, they'll chant really quick like that. Otherwise, when people are vata disturbed, they'll chant it very slow and calm like this.
Can you understand it?
I've studied it, but so I can explain a lot of the lines of it.
Yeah.
But it's Sanskrit, unlike Latin, which used to be spoken, Sanskrit was never a spoken language, right?
Not really.
It was actually a language either for scholarly study pursuits, but not spoken. But that's actually a secondary function. Mostly it was a spiritual language used for mantras. Right?
So it was only written and read?
It was only spoken mostly. Rarely was it actually written.
But it wasn't spoken for purposes of?
Not for communication,
huh?
For mantras, right?
Huh?
And for spiritual purposes. Huh? This is Siddham, right? So it's North Indian Sanskrit, Siddham Sanskrit as opposed to Devanagari Sanskrit.
Huh.
So basically I could explain a lot of the meanings of these and what each line implies or what it does. But they say that its function is quite limited by giving it words like that or descriptions.
Right.
Because a lot of a mantra is just sounds that get you in the zone of calm focus, calm awareness, right?
But you can pick out what he's saying.
Yeah, I could say, oh, this line is very good for, you know, irritability. This line is good for dream disturbed sleep.
Nice.
So it has a lot of functions, a mantra so broad like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that not my right?
Okay.
Does that mean their actual right arm?
To give you a feeling for it, I've been lecturing on it with another monk at the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery every Monday for about 8 months for 2 hours. Right? So we've done a lot of lectures and we still haven't covered. We only covered the first section out of 5 sections.
Wow.
Because there's so much to talk about. I mean, Master Hua, these 5 books up here, that's just the first section, these 5 books in the Sharangama Mantra. So he lectured for like 2 years with 554 lines in it to explain it, right?
Uh-huh.
And what he did, because he's quite, this master here, he's quite a sagely master.
I know nothing.
He composed in Chinese, although the mantra is in Sanskrit, he composed a four-line matching couplet, meaning it rhymes, to explain each line of the mantra spontaneously.
Uh-huh.
So, and then he explained his verse to explain what the mantra line means, right?
Uh-huh.
So.
So you have a lot to do.
Okay, the bad, well, the bad, it's all like stuff that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the drops are those kind of oily. Because I was thinking about what you said about for allergies. You know that thing that you put.
Yeah.
What ghee is that? It.
Oh, ghee.
Ghee. Ghee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you put in your nose to kind of keep allergens?
Well, there's
out?
Different. Any kind of oil will coat. And
so will that sort of do that then?
Mm-hmm.
So I was
yeah.
thinking, because this is allergy time
mm-hmm.
approaching for me, so that could be a double.
Oh, that's to remind Lothan to
be present.
Yeah.
Stop working so furiously.
Stop working so furiously, because he's pitta. So the first ingredient is sesame oil.
Mm.
The second ingredient is olive oil.
Doesn't it run down the back of your nose and your throat if you're lying?
Yeah, you have to spit it out. Mm.
No, actually, it's interesting. If you lie there, you know, for the correct amount of time,
mm-hmm.
it won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you haven't laid there long enough if you stand up and it runs down your throat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So wait. I've done it before.
So how long? So I thought you said like 5 to 10 minutes. So how long
five
do you
minutes.
Lay there with the drop? 5 minutes?
I'll lay there 5 minutes and I'll do alternate nostril
uh-huh.
breathing that way.
So 5 minutes is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess...
So the blood-brain barrier crosses it and goes into the circulation system.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's nice. It's
no, I like that part.
Really
looks interesting.
All
to me.
The
oilation.
Yeah, you're probably good for you
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find if I do it, I do it every day.
Then you can
uh-huh.
do it together.
My skin
feels
amazing.
Together.
Yeah, that'll be good coming on winter. Because he's really drying in the house,
yeah,
so, and
that.
I do have a look, so that's
so
going to
be
fun.
So you can use it on our face?
Yeah.
And my face is oily, so I don't know what that
would
be.
So you can use
I wouldn't be here
for it. So
yeah.
it's on my face, I get the shower, I wash off, and then I only use soap in, like, my armpits and groin.
Oh, so the rest
is
just
so I don't soap off. And then for my face, I actually use some facial cleanser, because otherwise my face is
yeah.
too oily.
Yeah, because I was thinking,
yeah. So after
okay, okay so here is your tea to enjoy.
Yeah.
Swap that out.
Okay, so that was the when you came in with that teaspoon, you, this is what you dumped
exactly.
in.
Exactly. All I did was toss it in the
warm water, or hot water.
Oh, so
I have a hot water dispenser.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it should look. This is the right side of the patient, that's the left side. So this is the index finger, superficial, right?
And this is how I should take this?
That's how you should take it, yeah. If you don't like the taste, you could take less water.
Oh, so you can hurry up and...
But probably you won't mind it. Let's see.
I don't know, I smelled it.
Yeah, it'll probably taste earthy.
Yeah, it smelled earthy.
Yeah, because we need to give more earth element in you.
So that's the
grounding.
Is that
right.
once
a
day in the morning?
Twice
it's
a day.
No, it's not as bad as I thought.
So we're going to go over that right now. It says right here
okay.
that you should please enjoy 1/2 teaspoon, which is what I showed you visually,
uh-huh.
2 times per day.
Okay.
To 3 times. Start off for 2 times for a week. See that, oh, I like this. No problems, no side effects, no nothing. Good, I like it. Then move to 3 times a day. And then it says right there, what? What does that say on the... I'm going to have you read the label.
Oh.
Please enjoy 1/2 teaspoon, 2 to 3 times per day. You see that?
You know what? I got to get my glasses.
Oh, okay. No problem. And I'll just read it to you and you can... So it basically says to please enjoy 1/2 teaspoon, 2 to 3 times per day, 15 to 30 minutes before meals, with a cup of hot H2O. So please enjoy 1/2 teaspoon, 2 to 3 times per day. Start initially 2 times for a week, then go to 3 times.
Okay.
15 to 30 minutes before meals with 1 cup hot H2O. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
So, 2 to 3 times a day means with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right?
Okay.
But if you're just going to do 2 times a day initially, be sure you do it for the evening one. The evening's most important time.
So, in the evening, okay.
Yeah, and secondarily, probably next most important would be the lunchtime one. Yeah? Okay. And then, to control your occasional constipation, to detoxify the colon,
mm-hmm.
and to do all the things talked about on the back of this sheet,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving you tri. Tri means three. Phala. Triphala. Tri phala. Phala means fruit. One of the fruits is this fruit right here. Called. Hey, where'd they go? Haritaki. This fruit here.
Mm-hmm.
Haritaki. So it's quite famous fruit in Chinese medicine. It's even in Buddhism and Medicine Buddha's begging bowl there in his right hand is haritaki. In that picture, that Tonka painting up there. So haritaki is quite a famous fruit in Chinese, Tibetan, and Indian medicine to help with constipation, the colon, it's rejuvenative. So all of its health benefits are spoken of here. Haritaki, amalaki, bibidlaki, these three fruits. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this that you take, what does it say? Please enjoy one teaspoon, right?
Half a teaspoon.
Half a teaspoon of loose stool.
Oh, okay.
You don't have
one
loose stool generally.
Of normal stool. Okay.
Right? So you more have constipation. Okay. So normal teaspoon, one teaspoon of normal stool. And then does it say there 1.5 teaspoons if constipation?
Uh-huh.
Great. And then it also says you should get in a brief meditation, applying some on the soles of your feet, some oil. Right? Some sesame oil,
mm-hmm.
for instance, or sunflower oil, right before bed. Just warm your feet, massage them with some oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit quietly in a crossed leg position and meditate for 15 minutes before sleep, just like we talked about in
mm-hmm.
that booklet. Okay, there you go. 30 to 60 minutes before bed on an empty stomach.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah? Because we should be empty stomach. You don't
mm-hmm.
go to bed with a big meal in your belly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's $10 for 6 weeks to 2 months supply. And this is $40 for... 6 weeks,
so
8 weeks supply.
Okay,
8 weeks in your
water.
Case, approximately. So, bring this back, your prescription form, right, and your intake form, okay, for a follow-up in about 6 weeks to 2 months. It usually takes about that long for you to begin making changes the way that we've talked about, which means follow Vata Pitta diet, yeah? So on the website, you download that Vata Pitta diet.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really cold out, say October, switch to a vata-only diet. Does that make sense? Because vata is the autumn.
Okay.
Right? Right now it's still warm out, especially in Danville, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite hot out even.
Mm-hmm.
So you could follow now, because you said you're even a little hot. You like that cold wind
mm-hmm.
early. So right now, follow pitta vata, vata pitta, same thing, right?
Okay.
So pitta vata, vata pitta diet for the next month. But I've given you 2 months supply. So for late September, early October, then you should switch to vata-only diet, because Danville is going to get chilly. Right? It's not like San Francisco or Berkeley that it's always about 50 to 70. Once you get to the other side of the Caldecott Tunnel, it can get quite cold, actually.
Hmm.
Not freezing cold, but still.
It'll start in October. They'll have this typically an Indian summer in September where it gets quite warm. And then after the...
other side of those
hills.
So when
hills, it gets cold,
sure.
Follow up. Pitta
follow
Vata.
No, Vata.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because Pitta's hot, right? You're mostly Vata. You have cold hands, cold feet. So when it gets cold, you want to... follow Vata diet, the diet that's appropriate to autumn and to Vata. Vata's cold. Right now it's sort of hot, so you're following a mixed diet. Pitta Vata, Vata Pitta. I forget what it says on the website, but they're the same. Pitta Vata, Vata Pitta. So whichever one it says on there, I can't remember on the website if it says Vata Pitta or Pitta Vata, but it's the same. It says your mixed constitution right now. Your mixed disturbances, because it's your Vata disturbed, yet it's really hot out, right? But once it becomes autumn and it's windy and blustery and a little bit chilly, not cold, but chilly, then you should follow Vata diet only. And you could call if you have any questions. I answer my phone from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. If you don't get me, better to just call back in a few hours. I'm probably with a patient who's so Vata disturbed that I can't pick up the call. I'm very bad at returning phone calls, like it says.
I saw that on your answer.
Please meeting. Just call back. Because I get so many calls, and it's just... Oh.
I would rather call back, because I
yeah.
just don't like to wait for the call either.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm tempted to just turn off that feature, but you can't on my cell phone, and say, you cannot leave a message, just call back in 1 hour. I'll get it. Or 2 hours. Because I really answer it 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So there you go. Best time to reach me is usually in the morning, between 8 a.m. to 10 or 11. That's easy to reach me. All right, so that's this. I've written on here your follow-up time, which is sometime around October 15th, about 2 months roughly from now. So.
Now, what was I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, so let me explain
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
It says on your prescription sheet, but I need to write it on here actually as well, is you're going to take 1 teaspoon of this wine. I'll just call it herb wine, right? Because we described on the prescription what it is, and it says right there on the label of the herbal wine what it is. So 1 teaspoon herbal wine.
Yeah, this will help your digestion, herbal wine, and it makes the herb more bioavailable in someone who's got...
So you're not putting anything in this, you're just drinking this.
Oh yeah, that's already been prepared. It's an herbal wine that what they did is they boiled this two herbs for 6 days in a slow simmer until it all evaporated, right? Down to a very strong decoction that you wouldn't want to take, right? Mm-hmm. Then they toss in some whole sugar, and they put some flours instead of yeast that make it ferment. 3 months later, you've now got a slight alcohol fermentation of 2 to 4%, enough that it won't spoil, enough that it won't give you a buzz. Unless you drank the whole bottle, you get a minor buzz. But you're not going to do that. It's medicinal wine. Right?
Do you just put the cap on and leave it out, or do you put this in the refrigerator?
No, you don't need to refrigerate it. No.
Okay.
However, Indian bottle technology, they've mastered Ayurveda and herbs and all that, but they have no clue how to do bottle capping technology. It's like 1920s. So the moment you open this, it will spin in the wind. It just spins around. It's like useless cap. It's fine for, it won't leak now, but once you open it, forget it. It's not a sealable cap. They just haven't mastered this anywhere in India.
Yeah, they don't fire it or anything like that.
Yes, don't carry it to work.
It has a little cork, you know, those cork with the lid.
Yeah.
You just kind of keep putting it.
So but basically, you don't need to refrigerate it, and this should be gone in about a month and a half, because you're just taking a teaspoon of it.
Okay.
All right. And Padgett, this is also why we're giving her a half teaspoon, because I'm going to give her a wine as well. When you're giving a wine, you don't need to give a full teaspoon, right? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when vata, that's particularly when you give wines, because vata's digestion is a little bit weak, right? And this warms it up, stimulates it. Okay, so that's that. Let me get you a bag for that. So your total is 40 for that. This is 10, so that's 50. And then 10 for herbs is 60. So there you go. 60, and then this is 70. So you're at 70. Okay. And then I give to all my patients, besides the sandalwood, I give them a gift of using this coffee mug warmer to warm up oil, the vata patients.
Oh.
So what this means is you'll take a little mug, you'll place it on here, and you'll get a little bottle of oil. You have some squeeze bottle, perhaps, yeah?
Well, I can get...
Okay, if not, I'll give you a little bottle of oil. And you basically let this float in here 24/7. You fill it with water once a day, and you turn it on. You let it stay on, so the oil is always pleasantly warm. So this is perfect to give oil massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
To apply to your feet, right? To put a little bit on your colon area, your back of the lower back, meaning kidney, lower back, buttocks, this whole pelvic girdle area, upper part of the thigh. So this is the site of vata. So if you didn't apply the 1 ounce of oil through the whole body every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which you should.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes 5 minutes to do, surprisingly. Then at minimum, just apply it to the pelvic girdle, meaning the whole lower gut, including upper thighs, buttocks, and lower back, right?
Okay.
But it's pleasantly warm. This is quite important, because if a vata like you, or her, a little less so her, put this on, you'd go, it's so cold, I don't like this, right? But when oil's warm, you go, this is wonderful, so pleasant, so calming a vata.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you check out oil, shake, 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 instantly it goes to stable. Right?
Hmm.
We shake water, it takes 10 seconds before it goes to stable, but oil, shake it like crazy, and instantly it's stable. This shows how stabilizing it is to the body and mind, right? In a certain way, physically. So, is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you just keep it on 24 hours a day. Oops.
Whoa.
So that was vodka on my part. So 24 hours a day, you keep it on and just fill it up with some warm water once a day, because it will evaporate over the course of a day. All right? So in your consultation, we spent much longer because you're a friend of hers or connection with her, and it's educational, but I only charge you just for the 1 hour. So
okay.
So I owe you in total?
$100 for the consultation, if that's in your budget. If not, pay whatever is in your budget.
I believe I came up with $170, as you were saying.
That's perfect, yeah.
Okay. And I have exact change.
And this was quite educational, so the follow-ups I usually don't do much more than a half hour.
Okay.
So just so you know.
Okay, yeah.
So let me get the bag for all that.
I definitely would be used to this.
I'm not going to have to get you home real fast.
I can only hope. I can only hope.
You accept that?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to give you a catalog of Banyan Botanicals, which is where I get this stuff. So you could buy it straight from them in the future.
Okay.
Because my goal isn't to be selling herbs to people. So don't lose this. I'm giving you that.
Oh, okay.
Tulsi oil.
Now that, though, the oil you can get at the elephant pharmacy?
Oh, yeah, they sell them, exactly. They're usually like $5 to $10, depending where you buy it from. So we got that in there. You're clear on how to use that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And I'll give you this. We'll lift that up. So on the bottom of these, just swish them around and just give it a shot down the hatch. The remaining dregs.
Oh yeah. That throws. Probably did not happen, but it gets down there fast.
Yeah, it does. Okay, I think you're all set. I'll keep this. I guess that'll be okay. There's nothing for it to knock against. Just remember the bottle's in here.
Okay.
So you don't swing it against something. There you go. So there's your 2 months supply of everything. And then call if you have any questions on anything. I much prefer you call rather than email.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, great.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Thank you. It was very nice to meet you.
I don't know if we had planned to do a consultation for you. I didn't think they...
He wanted to.
You had to call me back to confirm.
Well, he was calling for me, and then...
Because I think, wasn't it you? You said you were going to call me back and let me know, and I didn't hear back. Maybe I didn't check my voicemail.
No, I didn't leave voicemail. I called the next morning.
Oh, okay.
Because I just kept calling.
I didn't hear for sure that he was going to do, so I spent all this time with her.
I understand. So. Oh. Yeah, I want to do the same thing, but...
And actually, yours, because you look to be fairly Vata as well, although secondarily you got Pitta. I mean, you got like a lean, lanky physique.
Huh.
So yours will be quite quick, because a lot of the things that apply to her actually do apply to you as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to do the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Padgett, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
Good luck on your
test.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good
luck. Thank you.
Be in touch. All right.
Bye bye. Take care.
Thanks for coming by. How do you like this tea?
I like it a lot.
Yeah, no caffeine. Crisp and clean.
All right, Losong. The whole Zatva Rajas Tamas about the herbs, they're like throwing me for a loop here. I'm having my own minor anxiety attack here.
Think of what does Rajas mean? It means stimulating. So if an herb is stimulating?
But there are very few of those. According to this, Vacha is actually sattvic.
Yeah, oh, sure.
That feels surprising to me.
Pure
that would
essence
be.
Of Vata.
Yeah, because it brings clarity to the mind, right? It doesn't make you dull,
right?
It doesn't really make you angry unless you're pitta disturbed tremendously, right? So its nature is an angry making.
Yeah.
Although Abby got an anxiety attack from Brahmi.
That's a rare.
It's rare.
Incredibly rare.
So most of these herbs
and she might have taken too much or took it in the wrong manner.
Right.
Or she had utklishta vata, to use the Sanskrit, where her vata was straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
And if she took, powdered in her nose or Brahmi nasya, for some people, Brahmi particularly can be a little bit disturbing, like some insomniatics who are really vata disturbed. They take a little bit of Brahmi ghee nasya before bed, and they go, oh my gosh, this is making me even more alert. I'm so alert I can't sleep now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm freaking out.
So with the herbs, though, about
that's
the
very
only
rare
one that would be...
She's the second person I've ever
met. Rajasic would be Pippali. Even that's not super rajasic.
Yeah, so here's where you find these. You have yoga of herbs.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so in yoga of herbs, they talk about that. Sattva Rajas Tamas of herbs.
Mm-hmm. Do they have it in all of these stuff?
No, because only the ones that are extremely clear in one way or another, they'll speak of that. Because it's not something normally talked about in the classics, right? Is Dr. Ladd and others,
right,
like Frawley, and you could do it with your own wisdom. So it's just making you think, right? Knowing what Sattva Rajas Tamas is. Tamas means makes the mind dull.
Oh,
it makes
got
you
it
confused, right?
Yeah, like I said, this quality is tamasic, so
right?
Valerian. Which, yeah.
I mean, we could say heroin is tamasic. It makes you violent, and it makes you totally, completely dull.
Sure.
And yet at the same time, you could go to violence quickly, right?
Yeah.
And on heroin?
Yeah. Yeah, think of people on heroin do bad stuff.
Yeah.
It could be aggressive in terms of, like, it's aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you could say what marijuana is, right? I mean, marijuana is quite tamasic. You become completely dull,
but
right?
But doesn't it vitiate all three?
It does vitiate all three, but it depends on the person, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it has some rajasic qualities, right?
Sure.
But more than anything,
yeah,
it's tamasic.
Yeah.
So it's like garlic in a certain way. It's both rajasic and tamasic.
Yep.
Depends how you prepare it.
Yep.
So there you go.
I've heard that David Frawley put out a book doing, he and another Chinese medicine doctor have a Ayurvedic Chinese medicine.
Nope, that's Robert Svoboda. It's called Tao and Dharma. It's quite mediocre. Because they didn't collaborate. It's just an essay and an essay, right? If they really wrote it together in compare and contrast, that'd be amazing. No one's done that yet, right? Instead, he wrote an article, one of them, Svoboda, explaining Ayurveda, a little mini booklet. And then the other guy, a licensed acupuncturist, he wrote a little essay about Chinese medicine. And it's like, oh, well, Tao and Dharma, come on, it's catchy, but they don't really integrate it. It'd be very nice.
Yeah, you need to work hand in hand with somebody.
Yeah, it's just two essays. So I was disappointed. It was a nice title. But that's why it's not in my library. I was just, it's okay. I mean, it's good, but...
So is there anything else, last minute bits and pieces I should start to stress about?
No. Just know, stay busy, don't hurry, don't worry, be happy. And know, in Sanskrit, the avidya, samskara, vijnana, namarupa, shadayatana, sparsha, vedana, trishna, upadana, bhava, jati, jara, roga, maranam. And explain what those mean and why that's important to know. And know at which level, based on meditation, is best to end your afflictions and your suffering. Which of those 12 should you work on? Well, what's pretty obvious if you've ever done Vipassana and you've heard me talk it to various patients is at your sensation level, right? Because otherwise it's sensational and now you're chasing after sensations, right? Yep. So the sensation level is where you could cut everything of at the root. You could extract the plant of the weed of your greed, hatred, stupidity, or afflictions by contemplating, oh, when I feel this, and you're meditating, oh, I do feel that acid belly. Oh, I do feel that heat. Normally I go, ah, I'm angry, right? And you go, it's my anger. Oh, no, it's not your anger. It's your sensations, but it's not your sensations, it's the sensations of the chili peppers you ate, right? Or the pizza, or the alcohol, or the heroin, or whatever it is, the workaholism.
It's not the eternal self.
Yeah. So contemplate those sensations, and then see how then you have a thought about them, and you go, oh, I like it, I like that burn, I like that spice. Ooh, I like the energy that it gives me when I take heroin, or crack, or
coke.
But
that's the thing about
coke.
When people are angry, there's a high off of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ooh, look at this coffee. Ooh, I like the adrenaline when I'm jaked up on stuff, right? Or whatever. You know, so contemplate sensations. So Goenka G, who does meditation, S.N. Goenka, he says one of the best ways to work with drug addicts is to... He said they're not addicted to the drug, they're addicted to the sensation. Mm-hmm. So as to contemplate sensations and teach them slowly, slowly over years of time meditation such that they get an equanimity. But initially you start with detachment. Meaning unless you detach from the thing you're addicted to, be it and this is what you also need to memorize, name, fame, food, sleep, sex, power, money, and drugs. You need to know the classic addictions that we all fall into. And every one of those will bring a form of vata, pitta, kapha suffering. So you should be able to name, fame, sex, sleep, money, power, drugs, and see which of those, if you're attached to them and you do too much of them, will bring a vata, a pitta, or a kapha. And obviously, too much sleep, well, that's a kapha disease, right?
Oh, totally.
Too much alcohol, that's a pitta disease. Too much food, that's a kapha disease. Too much marijuana and coke and coffee and cigarettes, that's a vata disease. So you should be able to identify any of the attachments. Power. Well, it's mostly only pitta people that are chasing after power and being control freaks, right? And want to dominate others. And it's making them have an ulcer, right? So this is the heart of Ayurvedic psychology. I'm not going to even care about those sheaths, those yogic sheaths that everyone teaches. I'm very practical. You know, if you go read David Frawley's book, they go into all those yogic sheaths. That's great, but...
And they're from yoga. They're not from Ayurveda.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful, but how is that going to end your suffering by knowing that? You got to go to very basic stuff that's visceral and that matches the Ayurveda you're already teaching. That's yoga, and it's like, well, that's nice, but what's that got to do with my suffering? Why am I angry? Well, your subtle body is, I mean, forget that. That's interesting, but that's actually for high-level spiritual cultivators, right? I have no experience of that. My mentor, he says, oh, yeah, I can subtly see that. I can even see people's auras. I can't see any of that, right? So unless you could help people with all the gross stuff and master that, then you could speak to them these subtle things. And these are so not your daily experience, the yogic sheaths and all that, that are taught in a lot of the common Ayurvedic psychology classes that they focus a lot of time on, right? Dr. Lott even doesn't spend that much time on it. But David Frawley and Mark Halpin and others, they put a lot of time into that. And they even put a flyer out, you know, learn about the yogic sheaths, the subtle astral bodies, and the And that's like doing astral projection before you've even basic fundamental...
Well, it's also when you're talking to somebody, the basic layperson isn't going to resonate with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so when you sit there and you say things like, well, how much water do you drink each day?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you need to know the gunas. And if possible, memorize Tataro Ruksho Lagushita Kara Sukshma Shelling. Those chants are great, right?
I know. I'm working on them.
But if not, then just you better know all those gunas backwards and forwards and know what they do to Vata Pitta Kapha. Know the seven dhatus.
Yep.
Know the subtypes of Vata Pitta Kapha, right?
Yep.
And know the 16 Shrosamsi.
Yep.
Know how many Agnis there are,
yep.
Right? And I mean, you're definitely going to pass.
But 42.
There's different lists. 36 is most common, but. Mm-hmm. But know what's the most important Agni. And know the three states of Agni, Vishrama and Manda and Tikshna, and the third, fourth we never speak of, because Dr. Lad very rarely meets people with Sama Agni. They're the people who could eat anything whenever they want. There's never an issue. So there you go. Was that too long with her? Borderline?
Because
most of you guys were here and it's educational.
Yeah, you know what? I spent that long with both of them didn't tell them much.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I pretty much said to them, you need to follow a Vata pacifying diet.
2 hours with me is a lot, but for some reason I ended up going.
No,
if you guys weren't here, I'd keep it shorter.
It was highly educational.
Oh, it was great.
Thank you so much.
Did some
it wasn't
things
too long.
In this one that you haven't done before that were really nice.
Mm. And you're slow. You're really slow.
That's because I had to with her. I sensed I get a really slow.
I was like, I've never seen this Lo Fang before.
No, if you see me with Vata, you haven't seen enough patients yet. She's seen it with some Vata patients. I really chill out.
You really go slow.
Unless I myself am afflicted because I didn't meditate and didn't cultivate that day.
Right.
And then to be with a Vata, it drives me nuts. I'm like, I'm just too intense and I'm scaring him away, so...
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I get that with Philippe, you know. There are moments where he's like, oh, yeah, that's right, you asked me to pick up food today. And it's like, he'll come back and he'll want to make dinner at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, all right, I'm just, you know, trying to cultivate...
That's why your spiritual practice is really important.
Yeah.
If I don't do my Sharangama mantra, great compassion mantra, sit and meditate at least for a half hour, do a little bit of yoga prostrations, lift a little weight to get some more aggressive pitta out of me, and then I could deal with any patients.
Oh, and I found that the sandalwood oil is huge, especially I start getting and then I'm like, all right, especially putting it, you know, here, I'm
sandalwood
like,
oil
right,
is
keep
amazing.
On smelling it.
I carried it for years,
like,
especially with driving in a traffic jam. I just go, okay, I'm not gonna go. Okay, sandalwood, I'm better.
Yeah. I like those little, I've been burning the incense sticks too.
Those are great. That was a nice little brainstorm technique.
Yeah, because
I was
like
going,
that.
I'm not meditating myself, I'm such a hypocrite, what can I do?
Yeah.
And this was before I bought this cute little fancy alarm clock with a bong.
I love it.
I started lighting a stick. Okay, you gotta sit there for the stick.
Yeah.
Even though you wanna go study, you wanna read, you wanna go anything else but meditate.
What would you say for Mahayogaraj Guguluv?
What about it?
I'm still having all my orthopedic issues.
Uh-huh.
You
mean for you to take it?
Yeah, and I was taking it, and I noticed a great difference.
Yeah, because it's quite powerful, rejuvenative for Vata.
Mm-hmm. However, Banyan Botanicals only has
Yogaraj Guguluv. If they even have that sometimes, it's
all
medicine. Yeah.
So, what do you think about the Yogaraj?
Well, I have tons of Mahayogaraj Guguluv.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Can I buy some?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to head out then.
Right,
but I will
see
you Tuesday night.
I won't be here Tuesday night.
But then I won't see you for a long time because Philippe and I are going to Southeast Asia for 4.5 months.
4.5 months?
So, yeah.
Thank you. I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah, totally.
I'm taking a Western.
I'll bring it out to you.
Oh, okay, sure. Can I pay you PayPal?
Yeah, that's fine.
Or is that not?
No, that's fine.
Okay. I don't think. Well. Oh, actually, how much is it?
How many tablets do you want?
How many times a day should I take it?
Tell me what you're gonna use it for.
I have dryness in my knees.
Mm-hmm.
I do oleation though.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful with the Mahanaraya oil.
And tell me your height and weight.
5'7.5" and 130 pounds.
Okay. And you take two tablets 2 to 3 times a day.
2 to 3 times a day, really? Okay. Well, so, I'd like a month supply. And then
okay,
I can
so
pay.
2 times 2 is 4?
Mm-hmm.
So 4 times 3, about 120 tablets roughly, yeah? Okay.
And then I'll pay... Yeah.
So you can read about it here.
Okay.
Here's all the things it contains. It's quite complex.
Okay.
Arthritis, paralysis, disease, the central nervous system, Parkinson's disease, high vata.
Okay. Be careful
it doesn't fall apart the book.
I'm having a problem recently with, it feels like it, I mean, I know everybody jumps on sciatica, but if I sit for too long, I get a burning in my right glute. When's the next weekend seminar?
Okay, so I've given you here a total of 120 tablets,
okay.
Give or take a few.
Okay.
So what I usually do is I use it for nama japa when I'm counting out patients' tablets rather than weigh them with grams and all that. It doesn't take that long.
Okay.
So you just go one guanyin or whatever your favorite chant is,
uh-huh.
Avalokiteshvara,
uh-huh.
One Avalokiteshvara, two Avalokiteshvara, three Avalokiteshvara, four Avalokiteshvara.
Okay. Thank you for my bond.
So there you go. So you chant that. You always use counting pills or tablets as a time to do nama japa. When you're chanting, japa means count. Nama means chanting name of goddess, god, Buddha, Bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm. And I can choose whatever.
Yeah, whatever one you like. I use Guanyin because it's so quick and simple. Listen to the sounds of suffering. Guanyin, Guanyin, Namo Guanyin, Namo Guanyin, Namo Guanyin. So I go Guanyin 1, Guanyin 2, Guanyin 3, Guanyin 4. Same thing when you lift weights or do exercises.
Okay.
So their 20 cents of the piece comes to $24.
Okay. And then I noticed I gave a massage yesterday to a woman who, she was so high vata, she has arthritis, she, her nerves are jumping all over the place. So I'm going to suggest this for her. Possibly.
So you're going to give those to her?
No, these are for me. But I like to, I guess, order some more for another person too.
Use Maha Yogaraj Gugulu when you're sure it's very high vata. Right?
Okay.
And always better first to try Yogaraj Gugulu, because it is quite powerful, as you see.
So try
it's got a lot of
Yogaraj.
Yeah, try Yogaraj first, right?
Okay, I'll do that.
So this is where you know you're not going to get good compliance with Yogaraj Gugulu, or they're just too busy and they like tablets, and yet they have something more serious than Yogaraj Gugulu, right? Nervous system, or you just want a quicker response, right?
Well,
so Maha Yogaraj Gugulu, as you read from all the ingredients, so it's quite potentized.
Maybe I can have her come in for a consultation so she can get a full formula.
That's best. And see, because I rarely give, now in your case I will because you know all the other stuff.
Right.
So rarely will I give a Gugulu tablet all by itself with nothing else. Right.
Right.
So usually what I would do in her case, or someone's case, is I would grind these up.
Mm-hmm.
I toss them in my mortar and pestle and go boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Shake it up, grind it up so they're not so hard anymore. Then lastly, I have to give them a quick zap in the coffee grinder, once they're small enough that it won't damage the coffee grinder. And then I'll mix that with some buffer herb, right, like ashwagandha or other things, right? Or something that addresses digestion, which this doesn't. This is just neurological, nervous system, and this overall vata.
I'm having a lot of, quite a bit of issues with that these days, but I probably need to be meditating more.
Mm-hmm.
I try to meditate more, like, actively.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on the BART, I meditate. If I'm, instead of thinking, I check
out. But don't count that as your meditation time
on
the BART.
No.
Because it's all these disturbances.
Still moving.
Yeah.
Is this okay, you think, for me to take just by itself?
Yeah. I've given you a safe dosage, No problem.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
but see, with someone else who doesn't know Ayurveda, I'd rather look at the whole big picture.
Right.
And give them other herbs.
Mm-hmm. I'm also, I'm on a Chinese formula.
Mm-hmm. So take it separate from this. Yeah.
And I haven't asked him what herbs. I know he's putting like astragalus.
Yeah, the Chinese do that. I'm actually rare revealing herbs to everyone all the time.
Right.
Because I'm teaching everyone.
Right.
Most people don't say what's in it, they just give it to you.
It's hard for me, I want to respect that he's a doctor of Chinese medicine, so I don't want to ask for every single thing in my formula, but
I always
also
do.
Like to know.
Yeah, a lot of doctors will let you. Mm-hmm. Even Chinese ones, I insist on asking for mine.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to say,
I
probably wouldn't come back to it. No, I'd take it. I wouldn't come back to him again.
You wouldn't?
Huh.
Yeah.
I'd go, is it secret?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be debative or argument.
Right,
I'd go, why, what's the purpose that you can't tell me?
Right.
Right?
So, with the...
I say normally when you buy things from a pharmaceutical, meaning not pharmaceutical, but herbs in a store, they always list the ingredients, Latin names, so can't you tell me what a... Just write it out. What are the either Latin name or the what you call it name? And besides, aren't you keeping track of it yourself? So can I just get a photocopied, or can I quick write those?
Right, I need to ask them for it.
Yeah, and then you look them up in Bensky's Materia Medica.
Mm-hmm.
Or online, there's very good websites that have all the Chinese herbs.
I'm going to ask him for it, and then I'll bring it. I'd like to do a consultation for myself and for Richie also.
Okay, great.
Yeah. He is sleeping all day because he works at night.
Oh, my.
When I feel his pulse, it's so strong. I think he maybe has high blood pressure.
Yeah.
It's really strong.
He's kapha.
Very kapha.
So when you build up kapha from sleeping during day, it creates obstructive high blood pressure. Which still feels like a high blood pressure pulse.
Yeah.
Like a pitta one, but
I can even feel that through sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell him.
Exercise.
He needs to exercise. He needs to get up. It's okay, you know.
Any form of exercise. Because, see, the exercise can counteract the day sleep.
He walks to work every day.
That's good.
He walks there and back. It's 8 blocks, so he's walking 16
That's
blocks
a good start.
A day. It's a good start, but he's such a kapha. He's so mellow.
Yeah.
Although we had the puppy,
and
he didn't get much sleep, and he was more of a pitta.
Yeah. The puppy.
Richie.
Oh, he became
when
pitta.
When he didn't get his rest, he became pitta.
Yeah.
He wasn't grumpy. And I was like, you're so calm all the time. What's the matter? He was like, I haven't had my rest.
Yeah.
So that's that.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.